Zam, ladies and gentlemen, we are live, goddammit. We are live with the man, Jason Mayhem Miller.
Yes.
Of Strikeforce fame. Bully Beatdown fame.
Bully Beatdown fame for sure, man. I can't go anywhere.
Well, of Strikeforce fame too, man. You fought for the fucking title.
Yeah, it's true. But you know, like, Strikeforce is in the process of building. Like, I can feel them, like, getting the ball rolling.
Before we even talk, we have to thank our sponsor. We're sponsored by the Fleshlight.
I'll be taking all my...
That's the butthole version. I think that's...
What other version is there,
Joe? There's a mouth version and a vajayjay version.
Now, do the mouths come in different races?
Dude, that's a fucking excellent point, because I was saying, how come there's no black ones? Because all the vaginas are pink. If you go to the website, we got to talk to them about that. And the funny thing is, the dude who hooked us up, the dude who started this whole deal, our friend Chris, seems like he's of mixed heritage, right? Doesn't he? He seems like he's got a bunch of things going on.
You're saying that his
little bit of black, a little bit of white. Someone's had some black something somewhere along the line. Let's represent.
He's a spiritual traveler. You can tell by just talking to that guy.
He's a cool dude.
I can't believe doesn't have like Indian dick.
We're gonna have him on the podcast if he'll do it. I like that guy.
Wait,
a lot.
Who actually makes
dude.
The molds of, you know? Because
they make
artist.
Them out of girls' vaginas, like porno stars. They literally mold their vagina like the outside.
They stick a flashlight up in her and take a mold.
No,
of
but
it.
There's
no.
One.
They like put. I guess they put something on it, you know, and they make an impression of it.
Yeah, but not every one of those is an official vagina. There's like, or maybe there's just some fat chick who's got her vagina. She's like some designer. She went to art school for 3 years and then she goes puts the stuff on there like now everybody will get some of this.
My point about the Fleshlight has always been it does not have to look like a vagina because I'm not looking at it.
Nah.
I'm just shoving it on my dick.
You know what? I got a free fake vagina one time.
Right, but you stare at it while you're fucking it like, wow, that looks like a real vagina. There's no way you're gonna be turned on if it was a real vagina. Okay, why is it by itself?
Yeah, no,
where's its fucking body?
You
know what I mean? That's creepy. If you're just fucking a vagina like someone took an apple core to some chick and just pulled it off, and that's
what
you're
banging. Talking personality-wise, most chicks that I've ever dated are pretty much, you know, just a vagina. I just see that part only.
Oh, you've had some cool chicks.
Well, yeah, that's true, but, you know, I've gone through a rash of psychopaths, but...
Well, that's the lifestyle, though. You know, that's how you're living. You're a fucking wild man, like professional. There's a lot of people out there claiming wild man. Jason Mayhem Miller is a real fucking wild man, all right?
I can't help
it. Just shut the fuck up. You're talking about a dude who, as long as I've known him, has been living in hotels. He just got a fucking house. Now he has to because he's a goddamn TV star.
Yeah. Well, I have to just because, like, I feel like when I'm damn near 30. Like, I better, like, buy a house. Like,
you're a TV star now, man. You're a legit TV star. You're the host of Bully fucking Beatdown.
That's true.
That's a giant show, man. That is a popular fucking show.
A cultural thing. Like, I'm just waiting to get made fun of. Like, I'm like, please, somebody, Saturday Night Live, something, make fun of this because
it'll happen. It'll happen. It should. I mean, look.
They could
do that to Anthony Bourdain. They can do that to you.
Do you go to any like MTV parties where you have to hang out with the Hills?
Nah. They don't let me around those guys, and they separate me from Jersey Shore dudes. I really think
they separate you from. But you might smack them around.
Yeah, I might be like and then I'll just ruin my career because I'll be beaten up.
This is the thing about Mayhem. Like I've known Mayhem for a long time now, and Mayhem is one of the coolest guys I've ever met. He's a down dude. He's totally straight. You never know. There's no guessing where you're coming from with Mayhem. But that said, homie's got a switch. And every now and then, he just decides to hit it.
Sky bar.
This
is
exactly what I was talking
about.
At the Sky Bar once. This is classic Mayhem. And granted, this is years ago before he had matured. You were very young back then.
You know what it was?
You were like 22.
I got bored so easily.
Yeah. Well, you get crazy. You get hyped. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what makes you a great fighter. But when you got we're at the Sky Bar, and we're just having a good fucking time, all right? We got a buzz on. We're laughing and telling jokes. It's like Mayhem and Brian is there and Ari was there.
No, it's just me and you and Mayhem.
I think there was one other
guy. No, because I remember me and you hid around the corner and was like, oh, my God, what the fuck
I thought
happened?
We had one other dude with us.
All right,
you
let's
sure?
get back to the
Ari
story.
Ari wasn't there?
No, it was me and you.
Okay, anyway, bottom line is, say it's all just us three. So we're having a great time, laughing our asses off. And Mayhem gets hyped and decides to skydive on this bed filled with people drinking.
All right.
These people, they have these, like, the way Sky Bar is pretty dope. It's got this killer view, right? It's at the Mondrian. It's got this killer view, and they have these beds laying around. And people just chill on these beds, and they lie down and drink. Well, these people are just lying feet up, hard day at work, you know what I'm saying?
All girls.
All girls.
Let me tell a story, okay? You got the basics. Rogan told his version. Here's my version in my head, okay? I'm standing there. We already been to the Skybar the day before. I went with you the day before, and I had a blast. Like, it was like, girl, this time, it was like some people there, but it wasn't popping off, right? We were talking and having a good time, but it wasn't like the Hollywood party that you imagine, right? And I'd never been to Hollywood. That was like my first time, okay? So I wanted the Hollywood party. Like, I was like, where's all the hot bitches? You know, like, what is this? So, but, you know, you guys are used to it, so you were like, whatever. Me, I was getting bored. Like, I was like, man, where's the chicks? Yesterday, I was talking to chicks. And then I'm looking around, I'm like, and then as I'm looking around, there's a lull in our conversation. And I look over, and there's a hot chick, and she's looking at me from the bench. Now, I was on the second level of this little area, and we're sitting there talking. There's a lull in our conversation. I looked back at that chick. She was smiling. Something in my head said, Jason, she wants you to jump on there. Now, I have extensive experience jumping on a couch. I had a little sister all growing up. I could run and jump perfect and land perfect on the couch. As I ran and jumped in midair, I went, damn, this is a bad idea. Like, why did I do this? But too late. I could not take it back. So I jump and smash into all these hot chicks, like model chicks, and like a bunch of rich dudes wearing Rolexes. One guy ridiculous. With spiky hair. He had the faux hawk before people had faux hawks. And I smashed it, knocked the drinks everywhere and whatever. And man, I popped up like Bruce Lee, like jumped back up like, whoa. And I was like, that was stupid. And I saw the bouncers running, and I just went, I know, I'm sorry, I know. And then, so this is my first Hollywood thing, and I was hanging out with the famous Joe Rogan, and I was like, damn, Joe Rogan's going to hate me, man. Joe Rogan's going to hate me. My phone rang, and I saw Joe Rogan, and I was like, oh, God. I answered the phone, and he's like, you were laughing so hard that I was like, oh, cool, it's cool. He's like, that was awesome!
You got to know the difference between someone who's capable of doing crazy shit but is a cool dude and someone who's just fucking crazy and annoying. And there's a huge difference. And you're just a dude who's a cool dude who will do some crazy shit.
You know,
but you get labeled in with the other group all the time. Yeah. You get underestimated, in my opinion, you know. And it was really funny, as a fighter as well, the EA game, they put you at a really low skill level.
Really?
And it was a fucking hilarious video.
No, that's on the internet.
There's a hilarious video of him on the internet punking the EA guys. He pretends that he's fucking pissed off because they put him in a low level of skill.
No way.
He looks so good.
Never saw
that.
Dude,
it's so good. Find it on YouTube. Google it. Do you know the name of the video?
I don't know. Oh, just Mayhem.
Mayhem
EA Sports,
Punks EA
freak
Sports.
Out or whatever.
Mayhem Freak Out, something like that. It's
but
on the,
man,
the message board, too.
Okay,
like,
here it is.
I don't
know,
half a million
right
views
now.
Or something.
Okay,
super
okay,
quick.
Here it is.
I don't know, half a million
right
views
now.
Or something.
Super
quick.
Brian, you
got to
echo.
Man, echo.
Man, I got to sit back a little bit.
So here I am, whatever.
So just talk us through this for the people. A lot of people just listen to this on iTunes.
Yeah, this is just the setup whole deal. We went to EA Sports.
So obviously, you know,
we went to EA Sports, and it was like a dope, like,
ratings and
cool,
like
they had a ball pit in the middle of the joint.
We have a bunch of different,
and actually, one of the this developer is in on this joint.
Okay, so people knew what you were doing.
So if you notice in this video, he gets fucking slapped around a little bit.
Here it goes. Here, now he starts realizing.
Let me show you a few more.
He's realizing his character's a low skill level now.
We're trying to be as realistic as we can. You know,
watch the acting. Watch the acting.
No, man, what the f***, bro?
Here it goes.
Arm sickness.
What?
Foot speed.
What's wrong?
No, yo, who's in charge of this f***ing thing, man?
See, watch the buildup.
Tell me what's wrong.
It's no big deal. It's a video game. Yeah. Right?
No. Go back to my shit. Yo, no, it's fucking bullshit, man. No, man. You're fucking. That's what you think. That's what you fucking think. You're fucking laughing. You think it's. Hey, motherfucker. Hey, man. Whoa. Man, you're the one who told me to fucking do this.
And then my coach.
Yo, man, you told me to do this.
No disrespect. No disrespect.
I'm just f***ing with you guys. Yeah.
There was one. Okay, chill it. There was this one dude who was talking, who was really, he sounded really freaked out. When you got violent and physical, he wasn't in on it.
No, no.
No, my bad. No, he wasn't in on it.
Because that was real.
There was like
his freak out.
The whole floor of people came to the door, and everyone was like acting like they're going to do something. Like, I'm like, whoa.
Listen to that guy's voice. Can you rewind it to that one spot where that one guy wigs? This guy, this is some primal shit, dude. Yeah, I know. You got to listen to his voice, the terror in his voice.
Arm submission.
What? Speed.
What's wrong?
Yo, who's in charge of this thing, man?
Tell
me
what's wrong.
It's
no
big deal. It's
a video game.
Listen
right?
For the
no,
dude.
No, go back to my
physical.
Yo, no, it's f***ing bullshit, man. No, man. You're f***ing, that's what you think? That's what you f***ing think? You're f***ing laughing? You think it's f***ing? Hey, motherfucker. Hey, man. Whoa.
That guy. No! That guy sounds like a dude who's getting attacked by a bear.
Scared, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and I never think about it, you know, and I have no, like, fear of physical altercation.
Yeah, talking to
them. Oh, sorry, is that bad?
Yeah.
I have no fear of physical altercation, so to me, like, I'm like, okay, whatever, it's a dude, you know, like, and I don't really think about the consequences anyway. Like, I'm like, well, if I get beat up, I get beat up, you know, like.
Well, the designer wasn't going to beat you up. He wouldn't even attempt that because you're mad at him for that. Like, yeah, you think my game sucks? Fuck you. Like, what, you think he was going to attack you? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, definitely.
No, you had no dogs in that race. You had no worries. That was very funny, though. Yeah. That was very funny.
Good.
I'm
glad you enjoyed my web video, Joe Rogan.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. Mayhem Miller. I enjoyed the shit out of it. Man. Now, we can't have you on without talking about that Strikeforce brawl.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most ridiculous shit I have ever seen on television. This is one of the problems, and we talked about it on the show right after it happened, with organizations that they don't have enough experience yet. There's little things they haven't covered, little things like watching the doors. Like, you can't just let anybody in.
Yeah.
And the UFC knows that, so they have people watching the doors.
Oh, yeah, it's like trying to get into the cage of the UFC, man.
Yeah, there's just like a little hole missing in their game. Yeah. And the hole missing was, you got to watch the door. You can't just let anybody in the cage.
Yeah.
They just fucked up.
Well, you know, and I thought it was an appropriate time to get into the cage. Oh, yeah, this is smart. I'm like, yeah, for sure. What's the worst that could happen? Well, the worst that happened, so.
Well, it wouldn't have been bad. It wouldn't have been bad. What happened was, you came in and you like interrupted in the middle of a speech.
Yeah, no. Here's how that went.
Okay? He looked at you. I saw what happened. Well, he looked at you. Guys made eye contact, and then you just went with it.
Yeah, well, because it was like awkward at that point, because I didn't mean to step into his frame, and then he looked back at me, and me and Shields kind of had made peace already, because we're both cutting weight at the same time, and we're in the same area, and we both are like, ugh. And we're like, we kind of looked at each other like, yeah, we're doing it again. Like, what's up, dog? Like that. Like, we were like, all right, it's cool. Yeah, you beat me in that last fight. Give me another shot, and I'll kick your ass next time. You know, there's mutual respect. I respect him. He respects me. And so we kind of made our peace, and at the way in, we still were cool. We're like, what up? Then I won my fight and knocked the guy out, which this would make a lot more sense if on the video, I mean, on the CBS broadcast, they showed my fight, but they had 5 25-minute fights and went over their time slot. Anyway.
They went way over their time slot. They went over by like over an hour, right?
Wow, an hour? That's just bad planning. Ridiculous. Right there. Again, they're just new at the MMA game. Yeah. It's a new thing for them. Anyway, so I go in there, and I didn't mean to step in the frame. I stepped in the frame. I was like, oh, whoops. I'm already – and he noticed me at that same moment. I was like, well, I got to talk now.
Right.
And because he asked me, well, you want your rematch now? And I was
he said that?
He said that off the mic. And I went, yeah, where's my rematch, buddy? Whoops. Because then I just proceeded to get stocked and dogpiled. And the funniest part is imagine if I just won a fight and my camp was in there, okay, my crew. If we jumped on somebody, they would be fucking hurt. I got up like, ha, 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 oh, my God. Like, I didn't even get hurt on that. How did I not even get hurt? You know, like, I was shocked. I didn't even have a scratch on me. And during the little scrim, I shot a double leg on somebody because I was like, man, let me just take someone to the ground and then I can probably, you know, get my way out of this. And because I was thinking at this moment. You got to understand, when you fight, and my adrenaline had already been pumped up earlier that night, I wasn't even hyped when that was happening. I was like, whoa, oh my God. And I get on the bottom of a dog pile, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting jumped on national television
right
now.
You're getting kicked in the head.
And I didn't feel that. And then as I'm thinking in my head, man, I'm getting jumped on national television, the freaking idiot Gus Johnson goes, gentlemen, this is national television. I'm like, ha ha, no shit.
Yeah, what's up with that dude? That dude is like,
he's the best commentator in the fucking UFC.
You're entitled to your opinion, sir.
You're damn right.
You're
entitled
to your opinion.
Joe Rogan got nothing. Mike Schiavello, are you fucking kidding me?
You know
that guy's Australian.
Like
Gus Johnson, all day.
He sounds like a dude who's in a mold. He just fits
into
a mold and starts talking like a sports guy.
I think Mayhem just got me pregnant.
Yeah. I wrote. Sorry, I'm a little hype. I wrote a preface for a book that's kind of like a college textbook. It's a great book. It's I can't remember.
About what?
Anyway, it's about the mentality of fighters, and he did case studies with all interviews with
Gus everybody. Johnson did this?
Not Gus Johnson.
What are you talking about, son?
How's that guy going to write? a friend of mine, he wrote this book. And
what's the book called?
I don't know. Wait a minute. Wait, it's coming to me. It's too complicated. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If it was just like fighting or fighting and art, you know, it's actually, you know, a good book. I don't know. Look it up, Red Man. You know how to do
that. So I should write
things.
Book in Google. Yeah. And what else?
Fighting. And
no,
just
Mayhem
go
Preface. I'm sure it's on Amazon or something like that.
Mayhem Preface is on Amazon? You never know, man.
Yeah, you never know.
Anyway,
I wrote
Fight
Club? I wrote this thing. Where at the beginning, and I drew the parallel. Oh, but
Masked Man.
Oh, is my cat in there, man?
Probably.
Oh, dude.
Hot dog, come here. We have a technical difficulties with the wiener dog. Come on, hot dog, dog.
Yeah, you gotta. My cat's in the room.
Everybody.
My cat's hiding in the closet.
Hot
and
dog,
the wiener dog found him.
Get some of that.
We got goddamn problems. What kind of a fucking professional studio is this?
Yeah, but I had the
buddy. You can't go down there.
Come on, get her.
Hey.
I'm gonna fucking get you, little mother. Call Peter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize.
Yeah, but
for this
anyway, mid story. No, but I, you know, it's got to be a pretty big coincidence if he just.
Sorry, guys.
That's,
you know, turn my level
so
up.
Much
I like
better.
To yell. All
right. Yeah.
Like this. Yo.
Yo.
Check it out. I'm on the Rogan podcast, son. This is
Give
how I
some.
Hold it.
Oh.
But,
we are the whitest.
So, anyway, for the people who haven't seen this, this is what happened.
What?
There was the fight is over.
Everybody,
there's a lot of people that.
Google number
there's
one.
There's people
for two
that
days in a
listen
row.
To this podcast.
You live on
that
the
have,
internet.
There's people that listen to this podcast that don't know shit about MMA.
Oh, my bad.
There's most of the people that listen to this podcast, I would say probably 50% at least,
like
are MMA
Fear Factor,
fans.
I know. I love it too.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Comedy fans.
They're more podcast
fans.
I know.
People driving to work.
Just for the people who are not MMA fans, we just have to clean it. Look, he's going there again.
Get her. Get over here.
This is very distracting.
Anyway, sorry.
Why don't you guys talk for a second? I'm going to shut this door.
Yeah, please, shut the door.
By the way, remember that couch story we were talking about, the Sky Bar?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like
that.
My first month in L.A.
Oh, really?
And it was like my first time at an L.A. bar. And then I meet you. And then when that happened, I just remember it turned into bullet time where I just see girls like fucking glasses of wine going
I like
everywhere.
I like to call that Saving Private Ryan vision. Like you're like looking around, everything's in black and white and slow motion.
Yeah, yeah, and then I ran around the corner and me and Joe hid from you.
Oh, cool. No, man, I knew it was going down in midair. I'm like, damn, I'm an idiot, man. I'm like, I do stupid shit all the time, but this is really stupid. Yeah. And I was like, man, I finally have a famous friend in my entire life, and I just tell him to fuck off.
Do you
that
see
quick.
Inception?
Oh, not yet. Everybody says it's awesome.
You see
go
it, Joe?
See it tonight.
Hold on, we got to keep talking. Hold on a second before we change.
I like to know you're ready.
I'm gonna go see it tonight, though, for sure.
Do it.
We're not done.
No,
talking
I know
because
you know why. Partially because at Red Band tweeted like. Man, he was stroking himself while he was writing this review. Like 140 characters of, oh, Inception. Oh, God.
Okay, but
like,
before we get
so
there,
rude.
We got to go back to this whole Strike Force thing before your dog tried to kill my cat.
Sorry.
We had issues.
Yeah,
we got a fucking wild kingdom going on up in this bitch. So the Strike Force thing. So for the people who haven't seen it, this is what happens. One guy wins, and this guy who won, Jake Shields, Mayhem and Jake Shields had fought in the past. Very close decision. As a matter of fact, at the end of the second round, was it the second or the third?
I don't know. Yeah,
at the end of the second or the third, he had him locked up in a rear naked choke. Homeboy was going to sleep.
Didn't hold him after the bell was because my last fight, I illegally kicked Jacare in his head.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I don't want to get the – everybody hates me because I'm a dirty-ass fighter, you know? So I didn't even hold on to it beyond the bell because I was like, I'll get him in
he
the
would have
round.
Went to sleep.
Yeah,
he was a couple seconds away from going to sleep. It was –
what it could have, should have.
Dead locked on. Anyway, so the point is, there was a they had a big, very close fight. It was very it was exciting, and Mayhem doesn't feel like he did his best, which no fighter ever does.
No.
So he wanted to have this rematch. So when Jake Shields won in a big victory over Dan Henderson, Mayhem says, well, this is a good way to hype this fight up. This would be a big-name fight. You know, I'm Mayhem Miller from MTV and Bully Beatdown, and we're on fucking CBS right now. Yep. You know, I'm a famous MMA guy. You're a famous MMA guy. You just had a huge victory. Let's make some money.
Yeah. That's
let's make some fucking
hell
money.
Yeah, that's exactly right? what I was
that's
thinking.
Exact. Let's get fucking – come on, let's get crazy. Come on, let's hype this up. You got to get mad at me? But – The problem is everybody took it street. Everybody went goofy. Like, come on, man. So you guys have to have some sort of an understanding that there's a certain amount of shit you should be able to talk before you throw down because it's good for business.
Yeah.
It's right. good for business. What's not good for business is punting people in the head when you're down. Just I understand where you're coming from. You want to back up your boy, but you can't do that on TV.
Yeah.
You got to realize that a lot of this disrespect and the shit talking, it's not real. Okay.
Yeah, it's manufactured it's a little bit. Because
a little bit.
We, oh, they're, like I said, me and him are in the damn locker room. We suffer together.
But there's reality. Like, the reality is, you know, it was a great fight.
Yeah.
The reality is, you know, you would like to get back in there. And the reality is, you know, you think you can beat him. You came close to tapping
Definitely.
Him. So so there's a lot of real hype to it. But there's always respect. Like, the bullshit and the shit talking and everything like that, what people have to understand is that makes you money.
Yeah.
That sells the fucking fights. That's a big, big thing. Like Rashad and Rampage, man. If
great.
Neither one of those guys said a word to each other, there wouldn't have been half
yeah,
the emotion.
It's two black guys fighting. Who cares? Like, but I'm just saying, they hyped it up.
Yes, they made money.
They're talking smack.
Smart.
And there was some realistic.
Yes, there's some reality to it, but they kept the shit together. They got so close on that Ultimate Fighter show, man, when they got in each other's face and they were like
oh,
touching
you
noses.
Want me to tell a story? In Australia, I'm friends with both guys. I'm friends with both those
as
dudes.
As am I.
Because they're cool guys.
They're both great guys.
And I grew up with Rampage, basically. When I moved to California in my damn van, I lived in the parking lot down the street from his house and would drive to go pick him up to take him to another gym to train every day. We hung out every day, in which one conversation that he remembers, I went, man, you should be Mr. T on the A-team.
Wow.
He's like, and then he started spitting that, I pity the fool, like that. And I was like, oh my, see, I told you. And then Magic Mayhem, 5-8 years later.
Dude, that's like some
the
law of attraction type
anyway,
shit, son.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, maybe I'm just magic. Joe Rogan.
Maybe he's just black.
You might
successful.
Be magic, too. Yeah. Really?
Awesome. Oh,
Mayhem just blessed me. I think
I
got
you.
Some
I,
magic
I give you the
pixie
Mayhem
dust
bump.
On me and shit.
Ding. Hey, anyway, we're in Australia, and those guys are both out there. And I'm kind of kicking it with both of them, going around to Australia's nightlife. And I'm kind of hanging out more with Rampage. I've known him for way longer and whatever. And I kind of, you know, I haven't seen him. We were catching up. And anyway, these guys, suddenly, I'm in the nightclub with some hot chicks. I'm looking around like, wow, hot chicks. Cool. This is what life's supposed to be, right? And security starts running past me. And I'm like, where's Rampage? And I was like, looked over at where Rashad was sitting. Where's Rashad? And I was like, dude, they're not here. And those guys are running. I run down to this little tiny hallway where the bathroom was, and who's standing there face to face in this hallway that I could barely fit down? They are face to face in this thing.
Whoa.
Just black guy talking like, motherfucker. Like, all I can hear is motherfucker.
Treat me like a bitch.
Yeah,
treat me like
yeah.
a bitch.
And
treat
I was
me
like
a bitch.
Oh, here we go. I was like, oh, and dude. These security is like locked. They know who these guys are. They know what can go down right now. They're just like,
fuck. Could you imagine
to
being
the rescue.
Security at a fucking club in Australia?
And it's Rashad
especially
versus
in
Rampage.
Sydney, people are cool as fuck. You know, like, yeah, people are nice here. How hard is it to be a bouncer? You know, no big deal. And then one day, two fucking cage fighters come in.
Savage cage fighters.
One of the biggest rivalries in the history
yeah.
of the UFC. And these two guys are in each other's face in your bar. And
oh,
you got to do something.
But yo, da-da-da-da, to the rescue, I sprinted down in there, got in between them, and explained to them in the language that I'm accustomed to, black guy, because I talk black guy
you
for
talk
sure.
talk black guy?
Oh, for
will
sure.
Will you give us an exact interpretation of
what
you said?
What do you mean? My normal black guy is just black guy. Like, I my formative years were spent with all black guys. Like
right.
my from 12, well, I moved to a less black neighborhood when I was 12, and whatever, it was still I still hung out with black kids because I was already used to that. Like I was just like, You know, that was just my normal guy.
What's it feel like?
So, you know what I mean? Hey, get out of here. So anyway, I get in these guys' face and like, hey, man, let's do this on TV, huh? Why are you guys going to waste it right here? Because of international incident. They kind of like broke off and kind of like laughed the fact that I'm screaming about an international incident.
Right.
And disaster averted. But like, but they were serious. Yeah, they were like, I was like, you guys are really, because a couple drinks, these guys get fired up.
Well,
like,
there's
really?
the psychological advantage of not getting the other guy, you know, not backing down at all is so important to those guys. And they understand that.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. It seems stupid. And I think it is kind of dumb, you know, but I understand it 100%. And, you know, look, when people get heated into each other's faces and, you know, and there's this, especially with two guys that are about to fight, these little tiny battles are real. Yeah, these little tiny psychological battles, like who gets to tell who to go fuck themselves last? You know, who gets to say the last word? You know, it's like, fuck, man, we might be here all day. You know, I'm not going anywhere. Fuck you.
I don't get in that world, man. I'm so not. Why would you want to get yourself
into that? Well, it's true. It's true. But if you're a cage fighter, it's a different situation because psychological warfare, it's very important. It's very important, your mindset as opposed to where their mindset is when the fight starts. You can fuck someone's head up in the pre-fight.
But there's a lot of fighters that are also believe in just like, I love you no matter what, right?
That's all nice and good. But everybody's got their own style. Right. You can't hate on someone's shit-talking style because it really works, man. There's some shit, man. When you get inside someone's head and get them emotional and all riled up and start talking shit about their girlfriend, talking shit about their kids,
damn,
talking shit about their life, you start fucking. And look, some people can take it. Some people you talk shit on them and they think it's funny and it doesn't hurt them. But some guys go crazy. Look at fucking Frank Mir when Brock Lesnar got in Frank Mir's face after he beat the fuck out of him. After he beat his fucking face into the ground. Just smashed him. Then he gets in his face. Talk some fucking shit
now. Well, you used that for motivation, didn't
you? That was real, man. That was a real anger. You know, that guy got fucking furious because of that. It backfired on him, but it works on other guys.
No, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Backfired.
Well,
mean,
I mean,
you think that people got sad?
No. I mean,
like,
as far as his performance,
Brock sad.
As far as his performance, all the shit talking that Frank Mir did backfired.
I just think that Brock shit talking had nothing to do with it.
Brock was going to beat him. He's just bigger and stronger.
He is bigger, stronger.
I agree,
and,
but
yeah,
what I'm saying is it didn't do any good. And got him more of a beating.
Well, you know, he tried. Yeah,
you know,
fair
you know what I'm saying? I mean, he got some real violence and anger behind it.
I'd rather the guy beat the shit out of me than fucking. Then let me off easy, you know. I want to lose. I don't want to like, oh, you hugged me into the damn mat. I want to like.
Yeah. Did you see the IFC, the Josh Barnett and Geronimo Dos
Santos
fight?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Quick stoppage, man. I mean, Josh Barnett was crushing him. No, don't get me wrong. It's definitely just. But I was thinking, like, wow, I don't know. I think Brock Lesnar took more shots than this guy. And the guy got up and he was really pissed and he protested. He was like, what the fuck? And granted, Barnett was killing him. Don't get me wrong. Barnett looked awesome. Yeah. I mean, Barnett's fucking solid. Barnett's solid.
Here's
as
the
fuck.
Thing. As I love the officiating in the Lesnar fight, Lesnar
Carwin. Let him go, right?
Even though I'm a super Carwin fan. Like, I love Carwin.
I am as well.
He's the best guy.
Look, but, I'm a fan of anybody who can win. And Brock Lesnar showed his character in coming back for that second round. But he took a lot of shots where I was looking at Big John, who I think is the best in the business. I think Big John and Herb Dean are the very best. But Big John stopped that fight in Australia, and I was like, I wonder who would have stopped the Lesnar fight. People would have stopped it.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah,
totally.
Josh Rosenthal is the shit. That guy is
one of the best.
Rosenthal. He's
the
guy. Rosenthal is the shit. He's a real fan. He trains. He's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu.
What about Herb Dean?
Dean is the shit.
He's my
Herb Dean is stellar. Like outstanding.
Dreadlocks.
Coolest motherfucker on the planet, too. Both guys are. And, you know, but I don't think either one of those guys would have stopped it. Maybe Herb. Herb might have stopped. No, I don't think he would have. But somebody might have.
No one from the Matrix is going to stop that.
Eve Levine's a great referee, but he might have stopped it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what?
There's a few. I mean, what all I'm trying to get at is that on moments like that, you realize how important a referee really is.
Yeah. Well,
here's
the thing is I don't think it should have been stopped because he was taking a beating for sure.
Yeah.
But if you look at the athlete's face, you have to like pay attention to their facial expression there and there. If they don't look like they want out of there,
right?
Why stop it?
Right.
Like I never once can remember. I remember getting my ass kicked a couple times, like getting kicked, and I like remember thinking, "Don't stop this fight! Like don't stop it! I'm still here. Don't worry, I'm still here and keeping my face." But
that
if I had
too,
the facial,
that's an extra thing to think about, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, but I just know in my head, don't stop the fight because I can tell in a couple fights I've been in where I'm like getting my ass whooped. I could tell, like, I'm like, whoa, I'm getting kicked. I'm getting my ass kicked right now. I got to hurry up and get out of this situation. And I, but at the same time, I'm thinking, don't stop, please don't stop the fight. Cause I'm still here.
Have you talked to the Diaz brothers or Gilbert Melendez or anybody that was involved in the Strike Force brawl?
Yeah. I talked to Melendez and he's cool. Like me and Melendez have been cool and buddies all. And I was actually kind of friends with Nate Diaz. Yeah, despite me and Nick never getting along, because
do you think you guys can all squash? Oh, you don't get along with Nick?
Man, fuck Nick Diaz!
Wow,
whoa,
strong words.
What? Yeah, I said it. Anyway,
what is your problem with Nick Diaz?
No, because you know what? I feel like he was a driving factor in that whole thing. He's the first guy to throw a punch. He started that whole thing, and it's almost not his fault because he's retarded. But at the same time. He embodies this cultural shift that we had, and we really, it really started with Dr. Dre selling us NWA and selling us this culture of gangsters is cool.
Right.
Yeah, gangster is cool in a way to watch a movie, but being gangster is just being a little kid. You know what I mean? And starting a big brawl because, what, I talked some shit to your homie? That is just ghetto. And that thing embodies what's wrong with America right now. People don't take it. Like, when they asked him about it, I came out and apologized right after that whole thing went down. Because I was wrong. I stepped in the cage. But no one stopped me. I figured, they won't mind. It'll be cool. It'll be a cool way to hype
Brian,
their whole thing.
What are you
thing.
Doing?
And then,
What are you doing to the sound, man? You're freaking us out.
Sorry.
Anyway, so, you know, I got in there. They jump on me. That's not the proper response. Like, you know, you don't act like a damn savage. We're beyond that.
Brian, come on, man.
Sorry.
I can't
remember
what I was saying.
In the middle of an important speech, you interrupt this pattern of thought. Yeah, so, I mean, you had talked to Nick in the past, though. You guys
Yeah, you know what the problem was, is that Nick, well, after one fight, I did fuck him up pretty good. Because after one of his fights, I was doing the post-fight interview. I'm Jason Mayhem Miller with Nick Diaz. That's usually what I did. I didn't know setup.
It was like a silly interview.
It was just a joke. Like, right. He didn't get the joke, though. That's the problem. He's,
right.
I was just fucking with
he's
him.
He's like a serious dude.
Yeah. All you know, he's like, I ain't nobody's bitch, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that's
but,
how the kind
is
of guy
that
surprising?
Is. Look, I like Nick Diaz a lot. I'm a big fan of him as a fighter. I've always
too.
Been cool with him as
a
person.
Yeah, me too. No, I but, thought he was great. You know, listen.
But
I loved
what
him
is
the,
what is it about him, that whole no fun, no fun and games?
I don't know.
That's no, a weird way to live, right?
Yeah, because he just is he's I don't know, he's just angry with himself, so he takes
but
out
it's
on everyone else.
It's rare that someone is so disciplined, like as disciplined as he is. I mean, Nick Diaz is in tremendous shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Just running and you know,
he's
cardio
super cardio
is
guy. He works really hard, obviously.
He's so good now too, man. His last few fights, man, the fucking Scott Smith fight, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Frank Shamrock, I was like, God damn. He's like, he's fucking putting it together. He's putting it on people.
I like to whoop his ass.
But as like a dude, like that whole like always angry and always fighting, it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate way of looking
Whatever.
At
Whatever. You know, that's just the mentality of some people. And I think that, you know.
But it's weird you see that in someone who's so good at that.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? You just go to the gym every day and work
hard.
Yeah,
but to be smart, there's a certain amount of power over your mind and over your will. There's a certain amount you have to have a will, man.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Listen, I got
you have
uncles,
to have a will and discipline.
I got
to get
uncles
that good.
Who are dumb as shit who would just go to their construction job and work hard as hell every day. It doesn't take that.
No,
it's
listen,
not that hard.
Nick Diaz might not be like you might not think he's the socially most inept guy in the world, but physically. That guy's very intelligent. Look how good his jiu-jitsu is. Look how good he fights. That takes intelligence. It's just if he's not, you know, focusing it in other areas, you know, of his life, it doesn't mean that he's not intelligent.
Well,
there's no doubt that guy.
You
when you're that
therapist.
Good, you're super intelligent.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I understand where it all comes from. I mean, it's a programming that you get when you're really young, and you think that that's the way to behave and act.
Yeah.
But I think you've got a real good point. You know, you got a real good point about
that culture. I don't want to drive
that culture.
I like to have fun, and I act wild. I do crazy stuff.
But you are always cool to people. I've never seen you picking fights with somebody for no reason.
Why? What's the point?
Never seen you start arguments for no reason.
Yeah.
You've always been cool to people. I've never seen you bully people or fuck with anybody, which is really funny that you wound up getting this anti-bully show.
Yeah. No, listen. The same job that I'm doing now, man, I did the same thing all growing up. It's so funny that I got – because I played this role my entire life. Because every time
there's a big kid picking on a little kid. I can remember like three incidents.
So you're
in particular.
An anti-bully.
Yeah, I would be like, because I like to fight. I always liked to fight since I was 3 years old. Like, I just like, and then my dad was in the army and boxed and stuff, and he like.
So you weren't afraid of it. You wanted to get in there and do it.
Yeah,
so
I wasn't scared. And then
talking
so when
shit
one,
and bullying somebody.
Yeah, some guy was bullying another little kid. I remember walking, seeing it going down, and he was pushing the little kid around. And I was like, I remember, I guess I was like 9 or 8. I walked over there and got in between them. And then I beat this kid up.
Did you start bullying bullies?
Yeah,
though?
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. Because
maybe you were bullying.
No, here's the
bullying
thing.
Bullies though is a very common practice.
Yeah,
there's a lot of righteous people do that.
I bullied a bully the other day using BlueTorture.com. My bully in high school, he used to always fuck with me. So what? 15 years later, I made a website where I used to take Listerine strips and put them in animals' mouths. But I would Photoshop like them have blue lips and stuff like that. And PETA or whatever got so pissed off that they're like, "We're going to go to this person's house and protest them." So I found my bully's address and made this big flyer that, like, got 5 new puppies, going to give them 200 Listerine strips live on the internet. And here's,
dude, stop right now. Stop right now. Don't be admitting this on the internet.
I know. Huh? What's wrong with you?
Huh?
Stop what you're talking about.
No, it's fine. I've already admitted it many times on the internet.
Well, not on this fucking podcast. All nobody right. else listened to
sorry,
it.
PETA. Sorry, PETA. Didn't mean to do it.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the guy.
Huh?
The guy.
Oh,
dude.
It doesn't matter. I got the wrong address.
Okay. Well, whichever address you got.
You sent psycho PETA people to some random person's house?
Yeah, no. Even worse. Dude, let's stop talking. Let's stop talking about this. Jesus Christ, legality. No, let's. While we're on that subject, tell me, Mayhem, the story of your... Your assistant that what? Did you wrong, and justice,
you know, which I think is 100 times worse than what
it
I
is.
Get out of here. Yo,
it's not because you gave away where someone lives.
Huh?
That's where someone lives.
I was just thinking. I got my ex-assistant's address.
Yeah, that's where someone sleeps. This is just a phone number. A phone number is not nearly as bad as the place where you sleep.
The rest of the story was, what was weird about it is that he was arrested the same week that this happened for torture to an animal. He left his dog in his house for like weeks at a time while he was out doing other bad stuff. And so it just happened at the same week, which made it a million times better.
He was out doing other bad stuff? Like, what kind of bad stuff?
Man, the way he speaks is so interesting.
I'm trying not to get the guy in trouble or pointed at him.
All right. Well, we can move on to the subject. Revenge was served, so you don't have to worry. Okay, good. So now we can all sleep knowing that you won't be legally prosecuted.
It was weird because actually he was abusing animals the whole time.
It is funny when someone tries to do a scam and gets busted. You know, an interesting story is the guy who, you know, people always ask, "Hey, can we take a picture where you get me in a choke or I'll get you in a choke?" And I say, "We can't." Because the UFC specifically tells us we can't, because two guys were sued. Chuck was sued and Matt Hughes were sued for taking pictures with dudes.
Yeah, but then why did Jim Norton just get choked out the other day on Opie and
Anthony? It was a video. A video is totally different.
Because
a video. No. Listen, a video is very obvious what's happening.
Okay.
You know, and by the way, it's Jim Norton. Jim Norton's not going to sue Randy Couture.
Right.
These are just random fans that thought they could make some money. And they pretended that Chuck hurt him. They pretended Matt Hughes hurt him. Well, the guy who they pretended Matt Hughes hurt him, apparently they investigated this because there was all these people that said, like, "Come on, man, it's bullshit. Matt's a nice guy. He was taking a picture with you. You asked him to do it." This guy turned out he was a dirty cop.
Oh.
And they started investigating him and found out some shit, and now he's in jail. Now he's doing a long stretch. He's doing like 10 years or something.
You know why? Because Matt Hughes is a Christian and Jesus did it.
Jesus fucked that dude in the ass. That's what happened right there.
Oh, my God.
Jesus came
down.
That's
the worst thing ever said on a podcast. Too bad.
Could there be a worse thing to get raped by? Imagine getting raped by Jesus.
Nah, man. Shiva the Destroyer. That's a way better
Shiva's
God to
got
get
extra
raped
feet
by.
And shit, right?
Yeah.
So tell us what happened with this. Mayhem is, like I said, one of the nicest guys I know. Totally down, loyal dude. But he had an issue with an employee.
Here's what happened. I had the worst assistant ever. Like, literally, like, I'd be like, "Eddie, take a right on Ocean and a right on California, all right? Right on Ocean, right on California."
Let's make up a name for this guy.
Yeah, his name is...
Mike. How about Mike? Is Mike good?
No, Mike's my dad's name.
Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding. Okay. Right. No. Don't say Tanya Harding. Let's just call him Tanya.
I'll call him Tanya. I was like, "Tanya, just take a right on Ocean, take a right on California. You got it?" And he's like, "Uh-huh." And my friend goes, "It's a big yellow building." So I walk to the building I told him to go to, and I'm waiting for 15 minutes. And I'm like, "What the hell?" Finally, I call the guy. I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's just stupid. Like,
okay,
I'm like, what?
Okay, we've established he's very poor at his job.
Okay, so then he comes.
But so what?
No, then when he
but
gets
he fucked
there,
you over. Let's get on track here.
This guy fucked you over. I want to set it up so you know what I was dealing with here.
Okay.
So I'm keep giving him another chance every time. Like, I'm like, God. Okay. So he can't pay my credit card bill. It take me two minutes to do it. He has all the information. Still couldn't do it. He can't figure out Travelocity. He booked me an hour away from my family reunion. Like, he's terrible at his job.
Okay.
Okay. So he then goes to one of my close friends and just lies about everything. Like it's a girl. So
okay,
she
one,
took
is,
real
one of your close friends,
yeah.
this guy, found her information and contacted her.
He went, somehow he got her email on an email. I don't
mostly
know how
I mean, he had to be hating. There's only one reason why a guy does that. Guy goes and talks to a girl and talks shit about you.
Yeah.
That's a hater.
Yeah, I know. Oh, don't worry. I'm well aware of that. So, you know, this guy freaking calls her and just starts making up ridiculous stories. The girl believes it. Like, she's like, believes it. Totally, like, believes it. And then it's like, totally, I'm like, what the hell? Where
so he says a bunch of bad shit
about you. Yeah, a bunch of bad shit about me. Yeah.
You're very emotional. I can understand. You're having a hard time getting this out.
They are. Yeah, they are. No.
Yeah, it's fucking, that sucks, man.
Sensitive. But anyway.
Very sensitive.
So
this
like,
guy fucked you over.
Yeah, fucked me over. Finally, I get the story out of her. She tells me why. I'm like, what? Like, he just made all that shit up. Like, really? We make up. She tells me all that. I'm like, man, I suffered for like a week or two where she was just giving me the boot, like no reason, and I don't know what.
And you didn't know what it was. And it
I
was
didn't
just
know
this
what it was, and all of a sudden,
stabbing you in the back.
The guy that I fired the week before because he's inept at his job, and I was totally cool with him too.
So you had already fired him, and then he did all this?
I fired him, and then he did all this.
Oh, I was confused. Oh, I thought he did all this while he was working for
you.
No! Okay, so then, you fire him, he talks shit about you to this girl that he's probably in love with.
Yeah, probably.
And then what do? You put
Oh, no, I was talking to my friend Dane Cook, and I was talking to my friend Dane Cook.
Well, you were talking on
Twitter,
right?
On Twitter,
and
then
accidentally posted that guy's
number.
Dude, I did that. I did my own number.
I saw that you did that. So I was like, yeah, call the guy anyway and talk to him. You know,
so you thought you were making a direct message to Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And you were really just twittering it publicly. Hey, that happens, man. Because
I can't figure out how to delete the phone number.
Oh, don't worry. There's nice people on Twitter. They'll delete it.
Leaking your phone number is so intense because that's like something that you have so many, like 100 people that know your phone number. And once you leak that, like Dana White just leaked it on Twitter the other day, you could lose that phone number forever.
I think Dana did with his office number, so they'll change his office number.
Oh, that's
number.
Not bad. But your cell phone? That's pretty huge.
Dude, you saw what was going on my phone.
Yeah.
I couldn't even turn it
that number for a long ass time. You're going to forget how many people have that number when somebody down the line you're like been trying
think
to reach.
That's
you.
All good. I think this is
pretty
reaching,
resetting,
just reaching back and trying to grab hold of people from the past.
Nope.
Let that shit go, son.
It's kind of fun when you lose a number.
I liked
and then
it.
Gotta go.
I liked it. Now I can't even turn the phone on. I turn the phone on, it just reboots. Because it gets so many texts, because I turn it on like every day.
Yeah,
and when I turn it on, it'll have like 5,000 texts. It just reboots.
That's what happens when
I can't use it. I try to make a call, or I get calls in on it. I try to answer the call, and while I'm answering the call, it's just constant buzz, buzz, buzz of text coming through, buzz, buzz,
people calling in
on the other line, and then it reboots.
Is that Red Band is basically turning the phone on and sitting on it. That's what you're telling me?
I'm putting in my fleshlight.
That's what he likes to do. But so, unfortunately, you put this guy's phone number online, but I don't think anybody's going to call it.
No, nobody will call his number, right?
Why would they?
Yeah, it's not like it's my phone number.
Yeah, and it's not like you're like this loved guy and that guy fucked you over.
Yeah.
I'm just you know like, what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like there's any.
Nobody loves the bully beat down guy.
Well, I am an official Mayhem Monkey. I'm a member
Hell
of your
yeah.
cult.
You're like
number
420.
That's as cliche as they make it, folks. I had to take it. It's perfect, right?
Yeah, bro. Come on, somebody had to be 420.
Yeah, Mayhem has a cult called the Mayhem Monkeys.
Yeah,
I'm down with that shit, son.
It's easy. You know what?
I got a Mayhem Monkey T-shirt.
Totally,
I got two of them.
I feel like you're like a At least a general in the Monkey Army. I mean, at least. I don't know. Prime Minister?
Well, you know what I'm saying? How about this? How about I have a cult, you have a cult, and we'll be like fucking favored nations and shit.
That's who we are. We'll be like that's allies. That's who we are. We'll be like allies. Because you think about it, I just want my cult to be people who are of the same mindset.
Right.
And you are because we're all monkeys spinning around a rock in space, right?
Yes.
I mean,
tubes and tunnels.
Huh?
Tubes and tunnels.
Yeah. What's tubes and tunnels? That's what we have? Boys have tubes, girls have tunnels?
Oh,
yep.
My God.
Wow. I love Brian. You know why? Because Brian is a grown man with a beard, but he thinks like a 14-year-old.
That's
so great.
I like it.
You have to.
I love that personality, man. That's a unique motherfucker right there.
But did you ever get your Mayhem monkeys like all together, like for kind of like a roller skating party or anything like that?
I've done that with the Rogan board members. It's almost always awesome, but there's almost always one dude that's creepy in real life.
Uh-huh. Right.
One dude that just jacks the party. Remember when we did Houston back in the day?
Yeah. Who was a good example of that? Where
there was a couple dudes, I don't remember the names, but me, I don't know if I did, I wouldn't even say it. But
right.
After meeting them, they stop. They just drop off the board. They stop coming to the board because you realize this
guy's creepy. There's been members that wives have found out that they came to these circle jerks and like remember.
There's been affairs. There's been deaths. I mean, our friend Outlaw, that was a legitimate friend of ours that died. He had a heart attack. He was overweight
that
dude.
Hey, that's a business. You knew
Lon is a cool motherfucker. We knew that guy from like 2001 was when we first met him in Houston, right? And he was always on my message board. Just a funny dude. A cool dude. So you can meet cool people off the internet. But the problem is, man, for every cool dude, you know, for every 10 cool dudes, there's one or two just creepy fucks that'll show up for your little thing.
Yeah, but best percentages on the planet.
Come on. It's pretty fucking good. Yeah. I think, you know, you get to know people very well from reading the shit they write on the internet.
That's why Twitter's awesome, because you get to see, is this person a negative person, positive, funny? You could see through their tweets because they can't help it. They put themselves out
there. You know who I love? I love black dudes that give motivational talks.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too.
You know Tyrese, that actor? That dude who's always like, women, stand up for yourself in all caps. Wait, you know, make that man respect you.
And baby like, boy is saying
love
that?
Yourself before someone else will love you, girls. Like he'll like say all this like crazy, super positive love pimp shit. And you know he's just slinging his I'm a good guy game.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? It's like his fucking avatar on Twitter is him making out with some chick. And the dude is built like a fucking Greek god. He's a movie
bastard.
Star. He's a sexy motherfucker. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate him. I'm not hating, but I find it hilarious when he's talking all this superpower pro god love game. Like, you could tell when someone's throwing a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can tell when someone's real and that's who they are.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are not as bright as you are, Joe Rogan.
But isn't it fascinating when you see someone's throwing a game and other people aren't seeing it?
Oh, yeah. It's
like
great.
Scientology. Oh. You know? Like anything like that. Like, I had this neighbor who's a cool guy. I still love the guy and where I used to live. And he was talking to me about buying this piece of property. And then I said, well, I can't do it right now, but I really want to pick this up because my wife is about to go clear. So I go, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, well, we're in Scientology, and she's going to go clear, and it costs $50,000. Otherwise, I would pick this piece of property up. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I go, what is clear? Like, what are you talking about? So I'm just, you know, as a comedian, automatically, I want to start laughing at him and mocking him. But then my heckler skills are taking me, give him some rope. Let's talk here. Let's find out what we got going on here. So I'm listening to him, and he's telling me that his wife is going to become someone who cannot be influenced by outside forces. Dude, I'm not fucking with you. They get them to the point where nothing negative that anybody does to them or says to them can affect who they are. It's really fucking some pretty strong pimp shit if you think about it. Yeah. You know, someone tells you that they're going to fix you so nothing's going to come in. It's what's uncomfortable about it is you start thinking you could do that too. You start thinking I could do that to people. I could start writing shit like this
undoubtedly.
And making shit up.
What are you talking about?
Easily.
No,
easily.
Undoubtedly. Yeah.
Easily, man. It was a crazy feeling, though, knowing that I'm living next to some dude who's just getting raped.
Hey, man, we can go down that path.
You know what I mean?
The religious people.
They were taking 50 grand from him, man. 50,000.
To wave a magic wand on you? I'll do
50,000
that for like 40
to do some goddamn voodoo ceremony on his wife so that she won't get affected by bad buju anymore.
Did you ever see the South Park episode about the whole Scientology thing about the Christian?
No, that was one of the best.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, when they went over the whole myth.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was genius. South Park's the greatest fucking cartoon.
You know what, though?
Here's
the way it is, though, okay? The way it is my friend has a grandma from Japan, lived in Hawaii, but basically had, for the last 30 years, been in the house, cleaning the house. She's the nicest lady. She got one of her friends from, I don't know, whatever old Japanese ladies do. She doesn't speak English. But so they go to a Japanese church, a Christian church, and they go – They're telling the story of the virgin birth, and she suddenly has a freak out. She's 80 years old. She's kind of like an old lady. Like, right. She's like, you believe this? She went, you in the middle of the sermon, you all believe this? This is what the religion. Because that's her first time in a Christian church. She never heard about it, really. She didn't know the story.
Oh, no.
It's not, you know, she freaked out. She was like, did you guys believe? And fucked up the whole sermon and left in the middle of it.
Wow.
But if you draw the parallel,
it's the same thing.
It's kind of hard to, you know, I mean, I hate to get
everybody
angry.
Yeah, Scientology is the same thing as Christianity.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's 2,000 years younger.
It doesn't matter. Anybody telling you they've got all the answers, they don't.
Yeah, nobody
We have this weird hunger to figure it all out. But
well, it's good because now we got these Scientology, scientists. Real scientists, and I think it's messed up scientologists put it in there to sound like
I know,
science.
Right? That is kind of fucked up.
That's kind of fucked up because
their cult was science.
Because people who don't want to go to church go, wait, science sounds better.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, it has nothing to do with science. Science
and, and psychology together. Exactly. Meshed up.
Exactly. But you know, we all have this need to know everything. That's cool. These smart scientists are figuring it out. You know, they know the world around because
Here's the reality. They're figuring out things about matter. They're figuring out things about the nature of reality.
But
more. But there's way more. The real big question isn't like, how does this work? What makes this explode? What makes an atom? What makes the Big Bang?
The
real question is, what the fuck is all this?
Yeah, I know.
That's the real question. That's impossible with just science.
Yeah.
It's going to take evolution in science.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The real thing that's going on is that we have all this incredible power right now as a human race, but we're still in this crazy adolescent stage of figuring out how to behave and think and raise children to be normal humans. You know, I mean, it's a fucking very strange time when you think about the power that people have to change the fucking world that we live in, like with explosions and all kinds of crazy shit that people have invented, and how dumb people are as well at the same time. So many dummies.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's the way the world is. You know, there's smart people out there, and those smart people boss idiots like me around.
But has there ever been as big a disparity between people who are intelligent and evolved and the people who aren't, all living in the same time?
There's actually a lot of scientists are talking about how things are going to go, in which direction they're going to go, and they're talking about the elite class of people, the smart people.
Some
scientists say that we're
going to
evolve. Yeah, evolve just like the time machine. You know, there's going to be some goons, and there's going to be the super smart, crazy genetically enhanced robot people.
I don't know why people wouldn't think that's possible. You know, people want to think somehow or another that human beings, what we are right now, is what we're going to stay.
Nope,
and we're not. We're going to become something else. You know, we're gonna move on to something else, man. Who knows what the fuck it is, but it's not gonna stop right here.
I just hope that I get robot arms out of it.
And if you look at like other animals, like they all bunch of different kind of subspecies where they branched off, and humans themselves, we at one point in time are related to some other kind of primate, the same primate that the chimps were related to, and they all went in different directions.
Yeah,
who the fuck are we to assume that it's gonna stop? The branch is gonna stop here?
No, we're not. I don't think anybody is.
Anyone think that though?
Some people.
Yeah, no. What are you talking about, man? Most people think that we're here and this is how we're staying, when they can't even see that the Chinese chick I dated, her parents are like super short and she just sprung up to like 5'8", you know, out of nowhere. Well, guess what? She's like eating this chemically processed food. Yeah. Then all of a sudden she gets huge and she had big boobs. I'm like, how, what?
you're Asian. Your mom is super flat. Your dad is like a scrawny
twig. You got
twig.
An octo-woman. You know, you're having more babies now. There's more twins. There's
oh, yeah,
more,
that's
you know.
Like some chemicals they pumped in her, though, like some female steroids.
Yeah, that was on purpose, dude.
Yeah, yeah,
they, like,
for
injected
sure.
embryos into her.
Well, that happens all the time that people, like, they can't have a kid. You know, they're like, God, I just want to have a baby. And then they inject the lady yeah. with a bunch of hormones so she's super fertile. Then he drops his load inside of her, and all of a sudden you pop out a litter of puppies.
Well,
you know?
It's that, and they even put embryos in.
That's what
people.
I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, actual embryos into, like, old women who no longer have any eggs.
And their bodies are starting to get used to having, like, 12 kids at once. And now, would a body be able to have 12 kids 10 years ago?
Bro, I'm just hoping to see the turtle woman who, like, has all her kids on the beach and then covers them up with sand.
It's a I think it's a disturbing idea for people to think that there's going to be two groups of humans, intelligent ones and moron ones, and they literally be two different species, because people are worried that they would be in the moron group. That's what it is. Everybody's right. like, I don't even want to talk about this. This is not real. No, bullshit. People are going to evolve together. We're going to help each other. Stop thinking like that. You're a pessimist. Really? Watch the fucking news. Really? You don't pay attention to some of the crazy shit that you hear people do. You hear about people fucking their kids and going into stores with machine guns. And you don't think that there's somewhere, it's somehow possible that that might be a separate subspecies of people eventually, completely unrelated to, like, a Bill Gates. Like, so totally different.
Yeah. Well,
it's just a matter of time, man.
You know what? I'm cool with being on the lower end. I'm like, whatever. I'll be like the smartest dumb guy. It'll be awesome. I'm like the axe swinging savage. I'll be like, what? 7-Eleven? Give me the food.
You might be having more fun, and you might be getting more chicks, because the smart chicks, it's hard to get them to commit to a relationship. They're very wary of you. They want to, like, you seem like a guy who's going to, like, abuse my emotions. But the dumb chick's like, oh, you're hot, Jason. Right. The dumb ones are sometimes it's more fun. If you want to party, partying with dumb people sometimes is a lot more fun.
It is.
Partying with smart people want to fucking cry, talk to you about their ex-husbands and shit.
They want to smoke a joint and then fucking, about their ex-husband.
Fuck. Think about it. If you're just a guy trying to have a good time, you have two options. One is a girl who's 23, just got out of college. She's out with all of her best friends, and they're all drinking. Okay, there's that. Or she's 31. She's smoking cigarettes. She just broke up with her boyfriend. She thinks she might be pregnant.
God.
Who the fuck are you going to talk to? Who are you going to talk to?
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk to the smart chick who just graduated from college, and she's not exactly sure what she's going to do with her life, and like, hey, I just want to dance. Can't we just have a drink and have some fun? No. So you got maybe have a point.
Hey, man,
if you want to have some fun,
studies. Hey, studies disagree with you because from age 27 to 45 is like a woman's
Sexual prime.
Horny
year. Oh, for sure, sexual prime.
She's
I'm saying
you're telling me a 23-year-old is not blowing you in the bowling alley.
We're talking about dumb and smart. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about necessarily the age. I think the chicks are hottest when they're in their 30s because they become women and they know each other. I'm just saying, in our theoretical world of two different subspecies, you might be better off being king of the retards because you get a lot of hot chicks that are just, like, really easy and fun to hang out with. Whereas opposed to if you hang out with a lot of smart chicks, like, they're going to want a lot of commitment.
Logan,
and
I think
you're going to have a relationship.
Listen, we have a black president. It is the future now, and I am the king of the retards.
I'm chubby enough in Texas that I'm a supermodel.
In Texas, you fit right the fuck in.
Dude,
girls like
up
a man with a gut.
Yeah.
Girls like a man with a little gut in Texas.
Yeah.
That's a man who's living.
Bigger's better.
Hey, look, in the old days, man, fat broads were attractive. That's why those old paintings, like, fat meant you had some money.
Yeah.
Like, she's so luxurious. Look, she gets to get fat. Because nobody else got fat, man. You know, when you look at those old pictures of fat bitches, and you're like, why is that sexy? What the fuck was wrong with them? What was wrong is it was hard to get food. That was their bling. They were bling. And look at all this titty. Look at all this shit right here. I got all fat hanging off my arms and shit. That's how much food I got, bitch.
I don't think they talk like that in the
1600s. Dude, those pictures were the equivalent of Dub Magazine. That was the equivalent of MTV Cribs. They were showing their bling. This is my bling. Look at all my fat. I just been eating shit, pigs and shit all day.
I mean, pigs.
Yeah, you could be fat and fucked up, and you looked like royalty, whereas everyone else was sinewy and they fucking worked all day. They were built like mayhem. All these men were
carpenters. So you're saying if I go back in time, I want to plow some hood rats? Is that what you're saying?
Well, when you go back in time, you know, maybe fat chicks, you'd fall into a world where fat chicks were
attractive. Maybe the only reason that guys could get fat chicks is because they had those gay powdered wigs on, and only fat chicks would fuck them.
That's the same era.
I don't think
I'm not
so.
Sure.
No? Well, powdered wigs?
Powdered wigs went a long way.
It was
way,
going
right?
off when I think it was getting out of that when Jerome was painting.
And, people didn't wash back then.
Yeah, no, they did.
Yeah. Who cares?
They washed like very rarely.
Well, you wash your armpits and your junk. You do like an Irish shower real quick.
God damn, how much did people stink back then?
No way, man.
A lot of powder.
Japan,
a lot
you
of
do
powder.
That all the time.
But I
a
think
Japan,
though,
do that all the time.
But I think that's how we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always trying to kill our pheromones off of each other. Do you think that if people just walked around all day funky that you'd get used to?
Dude,
no.
Go to France.
I don't know. I think you might. You
that's
used
like getting used
the
to the cat litter box. I smell it every day. I still don't love
bro,
it.
Listen, bro. When you do jiu-jitsu, you get used to stinky smelling
geese
and people.
All.
You don't mind it. Dude, I locked up with this guy the other day, and as soon as we started grappling, his
armpits.
Shirt smelled like pneumonia.
Maybe
you know how dudes leave their
it.
Shit when people leave their gi in their bag, and then they put it on again a second time. It's
nice.
Got that smell.
Uh-huh.
This guy has rash guard for sure. He wore it twice. You know, that's what happens. Some dudes do that. They're bachelors and shit. They don't have any laundry. Yeah. They don't have the time to do it. They work.
Yeah.
You get used to it, man.
I kind of like, listen, bro. I'll admit
you say
something.
That, but you would.
But no, I smell cat litter for the last 10 years. That it smells like assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
You
that's
would
different.
Smell like
that's
assholes.
Different. That's poison.
Yeah, it's not
that's
human.
Poison.
It's not human
smell.
It's
smells.
Not human. Yeah.
Listen, I'll
human
admit
body odor is a different thing. Poop is actually dangerous for you. It's like you have a bacteria that can give you disease.
Yeah.
That's why it's so repulsive to you.
You had to explain that to this guy right now.
Well,
he runs
it's a big
your
difference
fucking
between,
website.
He's very
explain
smart.
This shit
he's very
is
smart.
Bad
he's just
for
a
you.
Little stoned.
Damn,
he's not
dude.
Like
sorry,
this.
I'm just saying shit is bad for you, just so you know.
How rude. This is just
sorry,
so rude.
Sorry. No, but I like stinky people. I don't even
you don't mind
them.
Stinky people?
Well, unless
what about
stink
stinky
bad.
Pussy, though? What about stinky pussy?
Not if it's negative. You could smell the negative smell.
Right.
However, man, every girlfriend I've had, whether she knew it or not, I smell her armpit hard.
Really?
Yeah, every time. I can't help it. My nose doesn't work that good. Sometimes when I get warmed up, it works just fine.
Isn't it amazing how repulsive stinky pussy is?
Oh, man.
Not, and this is not a woman-hating statement at all. I understand. It's like no one's perfect. It's just a health problem. That's all it is. It's a you know a bacterial infection or whatever it is. It's nothing wrong. I mean, it happens to people. But the smell itself is such a warning sign to men. There's whatever the fuck it is. Pussy always smells awesome. When you get down there, you smell the hormones and the moistness of it. It has like this glazed fucking scent to it. Like you could just barely pick it up. It's just you smell a woman through her pussy. I mean, it's a clean, fresh pussy is a fantastic odor. But when it's nasty, when she's got some sort of a yeast infection or something, it's horrifying. Like, all of your synapses are firing.
Right.
All of your senses are going,
negative,
away from that. The last thing you want to do. I mean, I will eat a girl's ass after she gets back from the gym way quicker than I would ever even think about going down on a girl who has a yeast infection. Has anybody ever gone down on a girl who has a yeast infection?
Absolutely. Cottage cheese is delicious.
But you know what's really, you know what's bad also is soap pussy, where they don't clean out the soap enough and you're licking and you're like, this tastes like I'm fucking washing
dial.
My soap
listen,
out. With
I'd
my
rather hat. Be licking a dial factory than I would a yeast factory.
I, like the muffler
have
a little
ever,
dirty.
Have you ever gone down on a girl when she had a yeast infection?
I sure I have. Like, eventually. Like, you know, at what level does it become a yeast infection? I mean, at one point, it's like getting there, and then beyond it, then it stinks. But I'm sure, you know, it's
does,
got
does period blood. Does period blood bug you?
Depends on the girl I found.
It's really? Not like real blood.
I'm now.
On the girl?
I've recently been turning into Braveheart, you know, putting fucking stripes underneath my eyes, fucking drinking that shit.
I think if you're turned on enough, you don't give a fuck.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it is. Like, whenever I hear, like, well, girls will complain. They will tell you stories about their, you know, their boyfriend won't fuck them when they're on the rag and he's disgusted by it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that guy's not that into you.
Right. Because
let me tell you something. If a guy wants to fuck you,
it's
he doesn't care
totally
if
true.
Your pussy's red. That's nonsense.
Recently.
What is the difference if it's slippery and red or slippery and clear? I don't
know.
It
can have an odor.
I don't give a fuck. That's just blood. If I'm horny and that's it?
Yeah,
you're on your
no,
period?
Dude,
oh, there's going to be some blood?
No, I'm
what,
sorry,
this
you're
is
wrong,
a shower.
Right?
It's
you're wrong.
Come on.
You're
just buy more
bleach. It's not just blood, dude. It's like...
Dude,
like
I don't care. Clots,
like,
eggs,
yeah,
all of it. Embryos. I don't give a
just
shit.
Chewing it up like
dude,
a country breakfast.
When my shit is ready to go and I go into gorilla mode, I don't give a fuck
true.
About some blood.
I don't care about it anymore.
You're not
going
to bury your face in it. Are you kidding
I would,
me?
I would now.
Oh, fuck,
fuck
yeah.
God,
I will eat her pussy.
Dude, whatever. Red wing time 20 right now.
Yeah. If Mrs. Rogan is on her period, I'll eat that pussy. I don't give a fuck. I like it. I don't care. I'm not scared of blood, dude. I got this werewolf fucking fixation.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid.
What I don't like though is when I forget to wash it off, and then you have like that cocoon shell on your dick the next morning, where you like pull it off like a locust.
Oh, when you forget, yeah. You can all be crusted and scaly and shit.
Locust, you gotta pick it off a tree.
Yeah, it's got its little legs still.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Like locust skin,
it sloughs off like a snake.
Yeah.
Wow, we just took things a way strange turn.
It's a good turn, man, because that's a primal thing. These are all like primal messages that nature gives you. These are all good things. It's good for the chick. It's good for you. You know, when you go down on a chick and you smell her and she smells awesome and you want to eat her pussy, that feels good for her too. That's like extra excitement. Like you're into it. She loves it. And there's this just burst of positive energy. That's all good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, and the fact that somehow or another you're not supposed to talk about this, or it's supposed to be something that's, you know, discussed behind closed doors, that's just because people are afraid.
Yeah.
They're afraid of their feelings. They're afraid of emotions. They're afraid of looking ridiculous.
Well, it's our whole culture too. Yeah. We have like a whole suppressed stop on sex. Like, oh my God, sex. Like, whoa, what do you draw a line?
How come you can't talk about
every one of us is here because two people fucked.
Yeah.
That's the
way. How come you can't talk about eating pussy on the Today Show? Why can't I go on the Today Show and just respect? Because
you don't
want to
see those Katie Couric getting horny. You don't want to see that. They're trying to protect you. They're trying to protect you from gross women getting horny.
If I caught Katie Couric 10 years ago and we got drunk together in a hotel
bar. Right
now,
what are you talking about?
I was a single man. You would wreck it? You would wreck it?
I would wreck it. Come on.
Wreck it. Katie Couric, if you want some. If you want some. Have you ever had some athlete dick? You ever had some MMA fighter dick? You ever have some gladiator cock?
Oh my
Jason
God.
Mayhem Miller is ready to throw down. Do you want to be Mayhem Monkey number 421?
Do you
want to
see Al Roker?
That position's available. You and me in the record books, yo.
Al Roker with a boner doing the weather. Do you want that?
Why would Al Roker get hard? Do you think Al Roker would get hard from Katie Couric?
That's like his sister
that gets more money than him.
Dude, you know
that's
they all like. Fuck
I bet
each
they
other.
Hate each other.
They
I
all
bet
fuck
they
each
yell
other.
At each other in the dressing room. You are fucking hogging up my screen time. I bet they get all shitty with each other. I don't like the way you threw to that piece. Fuck you, Katie. You made $50 million this year, you fucking whore. They probably yell at each other and shit. Al, you read the fucking weather. What do you do? What do you do? You point at shit. You think you're talented?
You think because you got the conversationalist. Rock band and you're better?
I am a conversationalist. You're a fucking sideshow. People tune in to see how much weight you lose.
Get out of here. You know that their managers do that, not them.
Do you think they bang? Could you imagine if Katie Couric and
all bang.
Secrets are being exposed because of the internet. I mean, look at this Mel Gibson thing.
Oh my God, Mel Gibson is
goodness.
Awesome.
Oh my goodness.
I love him more than George W. Bush. Like, he's like the best hilarious guy ever.
I love him more than I've ever loved a male celebrity.
He's hilarious.
Because he's a train Psycho. Wreck. He's a train wreck, but everybody gets to see it. Yeah. So I'm sure he must have been a fucking nightmare to be in a relationship with. But I don't think we're getting all the fucking details out of her either. I think that bitch is fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, undoubtedly, because the chicks always will egg a dude on and make
calm
him psycho.
Is she? She's so calm.
And that's why, because she's already done all the work. Now she's collected the dividends by recording him.
Here's the deal, ladies, please. If anybody talks to you like that, don't talk to them.
Yeah, never.
Just hang up. Don't ever engage in. I understand she's got a kid with him, but let's be realistic. This shit
didn't start.
Yeah, but this shit didn't start recently. No. Those kind of screams, that motherfucker's been ramping up for years.
Yeah,
that's years worth of build up to get to that point where that kind of crazy is acceptable. You know what I mean? Like, you can't release that Kraken on the second day of the relationship. Right? To get that kind of crazy, you got to get to know each other for a long ass time to the point where you feel like you could just be completely insane with her. You fucking cunt whore. I hope you get raped by a pack of niggers. He just starts talking super crazy talk.
What?
Like, that's been building up, man.
What it was like a sex thing between them. It was like role playing and that she took the recordings of.
Wow.
And this is like.
That's a good, you know what? Right, I like his conspiracy theory.
You fucking bitch. You and the whole time he's masturbating.
You know what,
that's why he's out of breath going.
You know what he could say if he was like a Joaquin Phoenix type dude? He could say this is all performance art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
That's all he has to say.
He could say
it's
all performance
art. He's like my EA Sports
video. You know
what
he could say too? He could have a public apology and say none of this was ever meant to get out. And I definitely took it too far. And I definitely think I got too into character and said some shit that was offensive.
Right.
And I never wanted people to hear it. And all I was doing was exploring this character that I was creating for a new role about a guy who was this very wealthy man with a Russian bride who was trying to kill him. And he went crazy.
Yep.
So I was exploring this character. I apologize.
And she took it way out of context. And
Mel, call me. We can work this shit out, son.
Katie Mayhem, Kirk, call me. I want to fuck you.
Mayhem and I got it, dude. We're going to meet you in Malibu. We'll get some sushi at Nobu. Holla.
Dude, I know a guy that
sushi
can back
chef
Twitter.
Kay, my friend Kay works there at Nobu. We'll get you together, bro. Mel, we got you.
Dude, back Twittering.
This
exists.
Mel, this is all just a misunderstanding. This is a character you're working on. I know. Mayhem knows.
For sure.
We got you. Didn't it, though, as a crazy person, Mayhem,
yes.
Didn't it make you happy that someone was way crazier than you?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, whoa, I would never say some shit like that. Like, I'm like, I get banana sandwich sometimes, like, fucking flip my lid. But I would never, like, I don't know, maybe it's just not in my character, though. Like, I don't lie. Like, I wouldn't say anything racist because I would say some crazy shit. But I could never bring it to that level where you're like, shit, whore, cunt. Then again, I don't have any kids. So maybe it made him crazy. Like when a dog has a baby, it starts to get super protective.
Well, Dr. Drew says, and I don't know if Dr. Drew's right, but Dr. Drew says that he thinks that what it is an imbalance. He thinks that Mel Gibson is something wrong with his brain.
Yeah, for sure.
It's bipolar.
Well, because if he's getting hammered all the time and then yelling at cops about
that
Jews.
Was the other thing Dr. Drew said. He was talking about recovery and the fact that Mel was in recovery for alcohol and then he might have like fucked up and fell off the wagon. So he might, like, legitimately be crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it, right?
That, like, because that's not normal guy psycho. He would have hung up after he said his piece.
Brian, you ever met anybody that crazy?
Yeah, it's usually thyroid conditions and shit like that. But maybe he just got so stuck into the, like, lethal
you
weapon
met somebody
role.
That crazy?
Huh?
You met some? You, who do you know that's that crazy?
I met a stripper that crazy.
You don't have to say names. An ex?
Yeah,
no. Okay, no, not an ex. Just a person you
just
know.
Just a girl I know girl that I used to work with.
Okay. Oh, that girl.
That,
right,
the
okay.
one, the
that
one
girl.
With the hair.
Yes, that girl. And that girl would get that crazy?
Huh? Well, you could tell it was a irritation brought on by, you know,
chemicals
stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you could tell it was just one day was awesome. Other day, it was like the worst storm.
And people
had.
That don't have any medical issues are so quick to dismiss that shit.
Right.
You know, the bottom line is, man, the body fucks up and sometimes doesn't produce the shit it's supposed to produce.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, I just think anytime somebody has, a mental condition and then exacerbates it with alcohol, drugs or whatever, maybe he's popping them Adderall. So, you know,
right.
that'll make it psycho.
A lot of guys who write. Do Adderall. Apparently,
yeah,
it makes
because
you very
sit there and
organized.
Super focused and right. I tried that and I had a flip out like that because a doctor said, "Oh, you have ADD." Oh, really? I have ADD. I'm just hyperactive, really. And then he gave me that stuff. And for a while, I was writing blogs on MayhemMiller.com. Writing whatever. Man, out of nowhere, I just start flipping out, like losing my mind on people.
It's like speed.
Yeah, it is speed. It's methamphetamine. Salts. That's what it's called. They didn't even hide the name in a different name.
It's called methamphetamine salt?
Yeah, that's what it's called. The generic. If you get generic, it's methamphetamine salts, generic for Adderall. Like, whoa, they're selling this to kids.
Brian, look that up.
No, I
believe
you,
but I want
to
know.
Because after it made me crazy, I was like,
the chemical term is. That's insane.
Well, yeah.
I have a friend who's
on Google.
Adderall.
Adderall.
Technical name?
Chicks take it all the time.
Just Adderall.
I bet
in Wikipedia it probably tells
you. I know two model chicks who take that.
I have
because
a friend who's
it
a comic
kills
who takes it
your appetite, and they just walk around super scrawny and ripped up.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
How much B12 do you take per day?
I probably take 500 milligrams.
Are you sure about that?
Why?
Just wondering.
You're just being what, Brian? Being a weirdo. All right,
I found Adderall.
I like niacin better.
I have a buddy who's a comic who's on the Adderall, and he says it helps him tremendously. He says he's a dude who doesn't take care of himself. His body, he's in his 40s, and he looks like he's falling apart. He's just one of those dudes that's just never been real health conscious, and he was having issues with energy and focus, and they got him on this Adderall shit, and now this motherfucker just works his ass off.
Yeah, yeah.
He could just sit in front of the computer 10 hours at a stretch and write
Hitler
books.
Hitler gave it to the soldiers in his army. Hell, what am I talking about?
Methamphetamine.
There's greenies in the Vietnam era. The greenies, the guys are taking it and going on ruck marches for like 2 or 3 days.
Well, I thought the Japanese invented it. I thought they invented it for, and then they tested it out on kamikaze pilots. That's what I had read, or maybe I had seen a documentary. I don't really remember totally. But it was something on the creation of methamphetamines, and it was connected to kamikaze pilots. That's how they talked those guys into going crazy and slamming their plane into boats.
Yeah.
Is that they were all methed out of their heads. Which totally makes sense.
Could you imagine
being in war? Could you imagine being over there in the Japanese army, being in war and being methed out of your fucking mind, surrounded by other dudes methed out of their fucking mind, and everyone's got guns.
Yeah, but you know what? Jap dudes are like real serious. I lived over there. They're very focused on everything.
That
so they're probably like
warrior culture, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I love it over there, man.
Do you?
It's great. I love it.
You're a huge star over there too. You're a much bigger star in Japan than you are in America.
I wish that I could fight over there more. But right now the economy's in shambles.
They fucking love you over there, though.
Man, it's great. You know why? Because I make an effort. And actually, my Rio Chonin, my best buddy, I call him Aniki. That means like big brother. And he's like my guy. And I lived over there. And I because of the limited Japanese I could speak, I assimilated with the Japanese fighters, and I would just be me and, 18 Japanese fighters eating at a sumo restaurant. Like, that is me and a bunch of Japanese dudes, and I kind of got used to their culture and kind of got into it. Like, I was like, man, I'm a Japanese dude right now.
They're so serious, man, I love
not true.
But I don't mean about not joking around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean about, like, their energy, like, their warrior spirit. They're so fucking driven with it,
Yeah.
It's such an interesting culture, the culture that, like, really appreciates the effort. Like, dudes will lose and get so many fans.
Yeah.
You know, dudes will just fight like a warrior. Go out and show heart in losses, you become more and more popular. Look at Sakuraba.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how many times he lost. Nobody ever gave up on him.
Yep.
It's like boxing. Like, if De La Hoya gets knocked the fuck out 2 times in a row, nobody was going to go see him fight. Everyone's going to say, hang it up, De La Hoya. But Sakuraba, dude, it doesn't matter how many times he got his egg scrambled.
Yep.
People showed up to watch him fight again, and they cheered him like he was.
They respected him because he's been in those Lesnar versions where he's getting his ass kicked and come back and win.
I love Japan just for K1. I just love that they put on K1, because if it wasn't for Japan, like, real high level kickboxing, especially amongst big heavyweights and shit, there'd be nothing, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the fuck are anybody putting on shows in America? I mean, there are Muay Thai shows and shit like that, but there's nothing televised.
There's nothing
where people
nobody
get to see
like had that steam built like the UFC from their negative side, where no one had that steam built about kickboxing that anybody cared.
Dude,
kickboxing was
amongst,
like a stupid movie with John
amongst
Clyde Van Damme.
High level guys, though, man, it's so fucking exciting.
I know.
The PKA, that PKA karate shit in the 80s ruined kickboxing in America.
Because everybody got the concept.
Bad Brad Heffern
like,
and shit, throwing flippy kicks. And,
it's like a super like D-level athletes doing
there's
shit
such,
in high
and
pants.
There's such a big difference between kickboxing above the waist and kickboxing with leg kicks.
Yeah.
You add those leg kicks, it changes the whole fucking
You
got
to be way stronger. Like, you have to be like a strong, tough dude who mentally can take it. Because, my legs are sore right now from this morning's training. And I only took like 2 with shin pads on.
Did you see the Hizo Shamrock fight? Last week?
Yeah.
Pedro Hizo?
No.
Ken Shamrock?
Well, yeah, I didn't see that.
Ken Shamrock got smashed by Pedro
Hizo.
Come on. He stood up with him. But he finished him with a leg kick.
Yeah,
the final leg kick, it is so hard to watch, man. You watch, you just go, ah! You could feel Pedro with those tree trunk legs. Just the bone just slams into Ken's leg. And you see the look on Ken's face.
He's been kicking like that for years.
For years.
Yeah, so
the Randy
really
Couture fight, Randy had to rehab his legs for 6 fucking months.
Oh, I know. He has like a weird vein sticking out of it from that fight.
So does Randleman from Pedro Hizo.
Yep.
Both guys from Hizo.
Because
Hizo would chop at you so hard with such good technique, and he's so fucking big, he would jack guys' legs so bad they would literally never be the same again.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you as a fighter, one of the rare awesome things I've seen in my life, like, I just remember the first time I kicked somebody real good in their ribs, I kicked them hard with my shin bone, was one of the most amazing feelings, because I never knew Muay Thai. I moved to California and trained Muay Thai for real and kicked the pads real hard. And then I remember the guy came and he threw a jab, and I turned and kicked. And when my shin went, like, it went into his ribs, I could feel everything move in there. Man, almost unreal feeling in my life, because I felt his body change because what I was doing. And I was like, man. And he was after that point of the fight, he was kind of done. Like, he was like, ugh. And then he let me beat him up. Like, because I kicked him, I got him a good one in the ribs, and he was done after that. Because, your body – your body's not meant to go that way.
Muay Thai is the way to go. There's some kicks from Taekwondo that are really effective. The guys are using now, like Kung Lee's bringing back the turning sidekick and the 360.
Taekwondo dudes in sparring would piss me off because they're like, you learn how to kick where you're like, whap-ah! Like it's a hard one, but it's so fast.
Right.
And it's not the same as a Muay Thai kick where you're digging through with the whole body and there's
it's,
more
but
time
it's faster.
To prepare. It's faster. Man, the guys will piss me off, just kick me across the face real quick. I'm like,
the best guys are the guys who have the combination of both types of styles. They have the ability to throw like Taekwondo fast kicks, side kicks, and turning side kicks, but they also have the Muay Thai leg kicks.
Yeah.
And the Muay Thai defense is important too. You know, you got to know how to fucking deal with those shins slamming into your arms, because those PKA guys, they never got kicked like that. Very rarely did a guy get his arm broken in the PKA.
Yeah.
But in like K1, LeBron broke his arm. I mean, Frank Shamrock got his arm broken.
Well, because
by
you have to be aware of the leg kicks too.
Yeah.
So like you're like worrying about, oh, this guy's going to kick me in the leg. Well, you're right in prime range for him to kick your arm off its socket.
It's that, but it's also the shin. You know, those other guys just did not understand the power of the shin. Everybody was going instep.
I understand the power.
Yeah, but you know, here's what. But if you take away a Muay Thai guy's leg kicks, right, and make him fight PKA, that style of above the waist lends itself for like slap fights.
Yeah.
It doesn't turn into like a real kickboxing match where you got to
worry. There's
another
huge element when you add knees and you add those leg kicks.
Oh, definitely.
Huge, huge, huge element.
Because you know why? I've thought about it a lot and I visualized it a lot. And I always like in my fights, I always feel that, okay, this is the end of my range with my hands. And I go, I feel them out with my legs. I go, okay, that's the end of my range with my kicks. And I figure that out in the first minute or two. And I go, okay, that's where I can play. Okay, so then, you know, I with that kickboxing thing, you got to stand so close to each other and whatnot. You can't really get a good dig, you know. You can't really get – there wasn't an exciting knockouts. It was like a lot of times guys standing like Rock'em Sock'em Robots just up kicking at
each
other.
I mean, there were some exciting fighters. Like Don the Dragon Wilson was really exciting at it. And
I was like a little kid who watched that.
Dennis Alexio, he fought when they had like leg kick style. That was leg kick style.
Yeah, but that
there was a transition where they were trying to put like leg kick fights on TV. I remember Don Wilson fought Alexio on TV.
What year
was
this?
I don't remember, man. It was back in the Dizay, son. But Don the Dragon Wilson fucked up Dennis Alexio with leg kicks.
Yeah.
That's how he won that fight.
Yeah, so but once you take that away, there's not a big like spot where you can set up to make a hard kick to the
Aren't you surprised, though, that someone hasn't figured out a way to do some sort of a K-1 thing in America? I know K-1 has had a few fights in America, but how the fuck is that not on TV? So, like, whenever that shit's on, like the K-1 Grand Prix, I get fired up, man. You see, like Badr Hari.
It's all the time. Yeah, they put it on there, but, you know, it's one of those things that hasn't broken over to
mainstream.
Thank
God for Mark Cuban and that HDNet, man. I watch more MMA because of HDNet than anything else.
That's a great network.
I'm just surprised that no one's got a kickboxing league. I think kickboxing.
Chuck Norris got a kickboxing league.
To that shit, son. I got a hug by Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
One of the proudest moments of my life. And I was so pissed. I didn't want to go back and say, can I take a picture with you and be all cheesy? But Chuck Norris, when he met me, he reached out his hand and gave me this big, giant hug. And he like slapped me on the back. I'm like, I'm in. Do you understand me? I just got love from Chuck Norris.
Do you remember any details from that day? Like that certain smell or a
love? I remember love was in the air. No, dude, we were at Vegas, and we were at a WCL, one of those World Kickboxing Leagues or whatever the name of it was. It was Vegas or Atlantic City. I think it was Vegas. I'm not sure. Anyway, I just went up, and I said to one of the guys that was working there, I said, do you think I can meet Chuck Norris? And the guy goes, yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah. Come on, man. And he just brought me over to Chuck Norris, and I was just going to say, sir, I'm a huge fan. Very nice to meet you. But Chuck Norris fucking opens his arms, gives me this big, giant smile, and says, Joe, what's going on, man? And gives me this big hug.
Joe Rogan is so awesome. He got a hug from Chuck Norris and lived to tell the tale.
Did his beard scratch your cheeks?
I wish it did. Dude, I was for real, man. As a kid, I was a huge fucking Chuck Norris fan. Enter the Dragon, that fight with Bruce Lee, all the fucking Missing in Action movies. I mean, as dumb as they were.
Delta
fucking,
Force? Are you kidding
what was
me?
That? Lone Wolf McQuade? That was the shit, son. Come on, man. With a little David Carradine. Extra points.
Oh,
Lone Wolf McQuade. Dude, Chuck Norris was the fucking man. So for me to have Chuck Norris recognize me and give me his big hug and call me by name, I was like, oh, shit. It's like the best birthday present ever.
The game has changed.
Morpheus.
Don't bring that up.
What? No?
No.
You don't want to do audio?
No.
That would be fun.
Brian, I don't want to talk about that.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't care.
Some crazy stalker character. I don't want to give him fuel. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I see you, baby.
Shaking that ass.
Shaking that ass. Your dog's giving up on trying to kill my cat.
Yeah, he's good.
He settled in.
He just wants to kick it.
He was ready to fucking engage.
Yo, man. Yo, he hates squirrels, birds, and cats. Like, he will fuck some shit up. If he can get a hold of it, he'll run. I've seen him run into a busy ass on Fairfax and Fairfax and Third. He ran out into the street after a bird.
Let me ask you this: what do you think about Strikeforce? Do you like working for them?
Yeah,
so far cool? So everyone's good. Cool with you?
Yeah, you know, I feel like they just have some certain problems that will be fixed as time goes on. But
do you think if it wasn't for this battle with the Diaz brothers, this thing and post fight thing with Gilbert Melendez and anything, do you think you would be challenging for the title right now? Because Jake just abandoned it.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
well,
you had the toughest fight with him. Your fight with him was way tougher than Henderson's fight.
I guess
you know what? I shouldn't say that. That's not really fair because Dan came really close to putting him out. In the first round.
Dan came closer to putting him out. But Jake is such a damn good fighter. Jake's tough as fuck. Yeah, he went. Fuck it, I'm just going to keep going.
Like, but from that point on, it was a rout.
I mean, it wasn't close. I was like, damn.
It seemed like Dan was having a hard time making weight. It didn't seem like the normal Dan.
Oh,
you know?
Really? Yeah, I think
85 is hard for him, man.
He looked like kind of run down. Like,
yeah,
he was
Dan's a thick dude. I think him making 85.
Hell no,
you know?
I disagree with you. And I know this because I trained
with
Dan. He like walks around like 197. Like,
but he doesn't like cutting that weight, man.
Yeah, well, of course, because, dude, he's fucking 40 years old.
I'm saying. I'm saying at that age.
You know, you get over it. I'm sure you get over it. You know, he's been making weight since he was what? Like,
Brian, what was
eight?
That? What are you doing?
Nothing.
He like 8 years old.
I know, but when you get to be 40, that's really hard to do.
Yeah, for sure.
But Dan, if he catches you with that fucking right hand,
God
damn, you got problems.
But we all know that. You know,
that dude's got one missile, man.
He
knocked out Vanderlei with his left.
Oh, he's got a strong core, and when he twists,
oh yeah,
it's super hard punch.
Yeah, you got fucking problems.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like a Masato technique striker.
Yeah, yeah.
But goddamn, he's got haymakers.
But maybe I kind of gave Strikeforce a black eye. You know, I brought some attention to us, but I gave Strikeforce a black eye a little bit by causing that whole drama. But
did you cause it? You didn't want to start a fight.
I didn't want to start a fight. Of course, I wanted to go in there and ask for my.
You wanted
rematch.
To hype up a rematch, and everybody's on CBS. Let's make some money. Let's get everybody fired up and enthusiastic about this, and everybody wins.
Yeah.
It's not like you were going in there with an angry, mean face to fight him right then.
Well,
there.
You know what it was it's like, I don't know. Does CBS not get it? You know, everybody was mad at me, and I'm like, guys, what happened? Negative here. I got jumped on. I didn't get hurt.
Did not understand why you were getting all the blame for that.
I know.
The people who should have got the blame were the people who let you in. No one should have let you in. That was an oversight.
Yeah.
They know that now. It'll never happen again. That's what, you know, running a business is all about. No one's perfect.
Yeah.
But once that said, you know, what it was there was too many fucking people in the octagon. There was you, who was an unwanted person in the octagon, and you were interfering with someone who was getting their glory. The whole thing was just badly run. It was chaos.
Well,
you get a bunch of fucking dogs together, okay, and dogs start growling, and shit happens. You can't get mad at the dogs, you know?
Yeah,
you just can't.
Yeah.
Look, I think those guys shouldn't have done that, but fuck, man. You know, emotions run high after victories.
Yeah.
Things happen. People get crazy.
And, and what's the worst that happened? Mayhem got jumped on TV.
Yeah,
so.
You got fucking kicked in the head while you were on the ground.
I got fined for it, and it's suspended. I'm like, damn.
How long did they suspend you for?
3 months.
3 months.
But if I would have argued with it, it would have been like 9 months.
You can't win.
You
because
can't win.
If you win, it sets a precedent.
I know, yeah.
When is the last time anybody ever like tried to get a fight overturned or protested something ever and it
I
came
think,
through?
Any
steroid test, anything.
Radic protested some stoppage or something.
And it worked?
No, it didn't.
No.
It never works.
Nobody.
No, nobody
Benji Radic protested the Scott Smith fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I think he thought it was stopped too soon.
Yeah.
You know what, man? That people fuck up, and it's a terrible thing that people fuck up. But once they fuck up, it's very rare that anybody's going
to go. I just like to look
up.
Straight into the future with a positive mindset. And usually, you know, it works out for me.
So who do they have lined up for you in October?
I'm not sure. We're trying to put Nick Diaz together.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, a little grudge match. So guess what? I started a grudge match, and it ended up, now they're going to use it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, now we got a grudge match.
Well, that would be a hyped up fight.
Damn
you know?
Right.
So that would be in October. Do you know where it's going to be at?
Nope.
No?
I don't know anything. I don't know if it's happening yet, but, you know, I like to rub my mouth off and hopefully make it happen.
Are you bummed out that you don't fight for the UFC?
Nah.
No, you're fine with Strike Force.
You know, I got a good deal and whatever, and cool. Yeah, the UFC is the biggest show in town, and I understand that.
But like
I'm
when
cool
you see
that.
Like you know like Chael Sonnen challenging Anderson for the title, you look at that shit and say, "God damn it, that could be me."
I wish I could fight Anderson. You know, it's like one of those things. Like right now at this stage of my career, cool. If something gets worked out where I could work with them in the future, okay, cool. But you know, right now I have a contract and you know I'm generally pretty happy and you know whatever.
How cool are you with Dana? You and Dana cool?
I don't know that much. He doesn't say hi to me. So I'm like, oh, well, damn, didn't say hi to me. I'm like, what? But I don't know.
Do you think he thinks you're crazy, man? Me worries.
Yeah, I think
crazy?
He thinks I'm crazy. And I don't blame him because my actions.
You are crazy.
Yeah, I'm crazy, but
not
I'm pretty controlled.
Crime.
And if I can get on the same page as somebody, we can be crazy. I'll be the crazy guy, and you make some money. You know what I mean? Like we'll both make money.
How long do you think Bully Beatdown is going to go on?
Man, no, way too long. I think I'll be old man.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
It's juggernaut.
God, I thought it wasn't, and then I did the third season. I recorded it all, and it'll be released.
Do you know how crazy it would be if you were on Bully Beatdown and on
UFC.
The Ultimate Fighter at the same time?
Bro, I already have too much TV time as it is right now.
You can't take it?
Yeah.
No, I
like it. No, I don't mind. I don't mind. But what I'm saying is, I don't know. People might get sick of Mayhem.
No one's going to get sick of you, Mayhem. Don't worry about that, fella.
All right.
We're here for you.
All right.
Just take a little bit less
B12. Yeah. No, man. You know
what is it about
niacin?
The B12?
It gives you energy.
Yeah,
you think
he's
taking too much B12?
Yes, too much
I'm
B12.
Good. You know what? I'm dating this girl who...
Niacin fucking freaks me out, man. Niacin?
Oh, man. You burn your whole body.
Your whole body.
Man, you know what? I got used to it now, and I like it.
I like it a little bit, too.
Oh, like it's burning my whole body, but I like it. I'm dating this girl, got me all the vitamins and whatnot, and man, I'm like, this is the best thing to happen to me.
That's very important, man. Supplements, it's amazing
to think
that you never took them.
You know what? I just started taking supplements like this year.
Really?
I never took supplements. I would just be like, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Stupid. It's stupid what it is.
You need some supplements, son.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was that important, but man, I feel a marked difference.
Well, you know what it is it's marked. It's marketed rather. If you you know listen to like people like doctors who tell you all you need is a multivitamin, all that stuff is nonsense. You know why? It's because it's not FDA approved. Oh, it's not approved. Well, it doesn't mean just because it's not approved doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Right.
Right? There's a lot of anecdotal evidence from people that are taking it that are having pretty positive results. There's like nootropics that I take that make your brain work better. There's a whole bunch of different. Yeah.
Give me some of that.
Yeah, I got some. I'll write you down a list of all the different
Resveratrol.
Shit.
Resveratrol.
Well, that's an excellent antioxidant, but there's a bunch of different things that are designed. Look up nootropics designed just to increase cerebral activity.
You know, you're talking about that, and I think that we live in a culture where it's not about living better, really. It's about just living above the death line. Like nobody wants to really think about it. Yeah,
nobody
wants
to be feeling
premium.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It's like you know, I had a conversation.
No, feeling fantastic is bad and wrong. Well, that's why you're not allowed to smoke pot anywhere but California.
Well, there's that. You know, how about, man, how much does it drive you crazy when dudes who don't work out will talk shit on exercise and the importance of keeping your body healthy?
Yeah.
It's just an
ignorant view where a lot of people are ignorant and then they take pride in their ignorance.
Yeah, it's like, dude, when your body works better, your brain feels better.
Yeah.
It all works better. The whole thing flows better.
So true.
You know? Dudes, I mean, but nobody wants to admit that that's their issue. You know, nobody wants to admit that their lack of exercise and everything. No. I don't need. Nobody needs to work out. I don't want to. Comics are fucking famous for that kind of shit.
You're right.
Comics are always bitching and whining, and they just want to sleep till 3 and don't do anything constantly. That shit is so important for you, man.
Yeah, well, I just think that people in general, it's easier to be lazy and then bitch about it because that's funny and you get positive reinforcement from people laughing at that. Like, oh, yeah, I hate working out too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, totally.
Misery loves company, you know. But I had a conversation with a dude once where he was talking about, like, what's the point in exercise and what's the point in working out? I go, all right, if I could give you a pill and this pill would give you a super powerful body, like ridiculous, much more powerful than a normal person. You could literally take the normal man and strangle him at will. You could take him, manhandle him, treat him like a girl, and choke him to death. If I give you a pill that would give you that, wouldn't you take it?
Listen,
wouldn't you want to have that power? I mean, wouldn't you want to have this superpower? I give you a pill, and it turns you into an assassin. And I'm like, well, you can have that, stupid. All you have to do is work out.
Yeah.
If you train and you do some kettlebells,
so wait,
get really good at your
job. It's way different than a pill.
When were you working as a salesman at 24 Hour Fitness? I don't understand.
understand that.
Legends in Hollywood. They got me under the 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu affiliation program. I'm trying to sign people up.
You enjoy working out, though, where a lot of people don't enjoy working
You know what
out.
I enjoy? I enjoy Jiu-Jitsu because Jiu-Jitsu to me is like it's an awesome distraction. I got so much going on in my life. When I get into Jiu-Jitsu and I'm rolling with some dude and we are just trying to kill each other, you know? I'm trying to choke him. He's trying to choke me. We are battling. We're pacing ourselves. I know what this motherfucker's doing. He keeps going for the deep half sweep. I got to keep that underhook. I got to stop him. There's like this battle going on. And when that battle's going on, man, I don't think about shit else. I'm not thinking about I need to clean my office. I'm not thinking about I need to call that dude about this thing. I need to get my shit together and write this new material. No, I'm just doing jiu-jitsu. I'm in that zone because it's so difficult to do. It puts you in the zone, you know? And it's like a fun fucking game.
Yeah, while we're on it, you need to clean your office, bro.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, if you only had the passion with cleaning.
give those.
I like to clean. Hey, I like to vacuum. I love Windex. Pine Sol. Yeah!
That's a new show, dude. The fucking aggro cleaning guy. I fucking love
you're,
shit.
Hey, you're
clean.
Telling me that Mr. Clean's not on juice? Look at that guy. He lost all his hair and he's jacked.
He looks
and
like Krzysztof Szyszynski.
He does, right? With no tattoos.
With no tattoos. All swollen shit. Krzysztof is a fucking sculpted specimen.
Yeah, he is, right? I'm like, how the hell do you look like that?
Goddamn specimen. Cool motherfucker, too.
Yep.
Him and his girl. Hung out with them in England. Cool shit. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Krzysztof was on The Ultimate Fighter, for people who don't know. Super nice guy. That's the thing about MMA that people don't realize is how many nice people there are that are involved in it. And in martial arts in general, like some of the nicest people I know are dudes that have fought and dudes that train because you have like a better control of your ego. You're like, you know, you're used to getting your ass kicked. You're used to finding out your real boundaries by breaking yourself down, you know, by getting to the point where, you know, you literally can't fucking breathe. You literally are in class, and when everyone says time, and you drop to your back, you know, you're broken. Whereas other people, they hardly ever experience that. Yeah. They don't experience the boundaries of their drive, the boundaries of their discipline. You know, so like the people that I've met that are like fighters, like some of the coolest fucking people you ever meet in your life, you know. They have to show their ass to the world, man.
Yeah, it's definitely you got to drop your – you got to – whoever you are comes out in the cage. Like, you have to really be yourself for a second, and you have to deal with the pain. And you're like, oh, my God, I don't want to be a bitch. And, Dad, you never loved me. And shit like that goes through your head, you know? Like, it's not – you know, you have to confront these real fears and real – you have to confront everything. And I say all of you guys out there in cyberspace, be a cage fighter just for a day.
And there's there's growth in that. There's growth in that confrontation. You know, when you understand your boundaries and you hit them, you know, you get to know yourself better. You get to know yourself better than the average dude who doesn't do shit with his body. You know, there's something about doing something really difficult willpower-wise with your body, like training, and especially training in jiu-jitsu and shit. Well, like, there's battles, man. There's sometimes, you know, a guy's got your back and you're defending and you know you could just tap out and this is going to be over. But the other side of your brain is going, no, we're going to gut this out as long as we possibly can. And there's that, like, fence that you're dancing on where you're like, let me just tap right here. Fuck this. But it's so uncomfortable and so difficult to get through. But your willpower allows you to survive. And then you get through it and you're like, motherfucker, I got through that. I thought I was gone. And now I'm on top. Oh, shit. And now I'm passing. You know, it's like this overcoming of adversity. A lot of people never experience that, especially like physically, where your mind has to control your body through some uncomfort, you know?
Yeah, I know. I guess you could get the same effect from, like, I don't know, run a marathon or do something
physically where you have to push your body. The mind and the willpower have to control the body. I think it's much more difficult when you're doing it in a competition like MMA or anything like boxing or jiu-jitsu, anything where it's a dude is trying to kill you.
Yeah,
you know, then it's much more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But shit, man, think about the kind of willpower that's involved in a Tour de France.
I know. Unbelievable. Those guys are just pedaling.
Just pumping their legs. Just doing the same movement.
Discipline. Man.
God damn. When I look at like Lance Armstrong, I go, that must be the most boring, intense motherfucker alive. You know? Because he does some boring ass shit. He's just pedaling.
Just
I mean, not, it's not boring. I mean, obviously they're racing and it's awesome countryside and shit. And there's all this attention and all this energy. But they're doing the same thing for days.
Yeah.
That shit takes days. It's like, who's the most boring, intense motherfucker on earth? Let's find out. Everybody get together. Get on a bike.
They should have the same thing for like accounting or something. Just have the fucking fucking accounting Olympics. The guy's just adding fucking bills up for fucking 6 days straight.
Yeah, there's something about that, like sheer tests of discipline that are so uncomfortable for me.
You know, I have, you know, because as a fighter, I have, like, you know, some serious discipline to get inside the room and fight with other guys for, you know, at least an hour. Like, I'm doing that for at least an hour a day. And pretty much my entire life, I've done that. The other side, I can't fill out a fucking form without getting distracted. Like, I'm, like, sitting there. House application was the funniest thing I've ever done because I'm sitting there like, motherfucker, if you put one more paper in my face, I'm going to slap your fucking notary public face off. You know? I like, God, it's like all day just sitting there. I hated it.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a different mindset.
It's a different kind
so
of
I
discipline.
Look, I'm very, like, when I look at a lawyer or whatever, I'm like, wow, you fucking look at papers and read shit all day. Like,
dude, I am the exact same way. I'm a retard when it comes to like filling out forms and shit. Yeah. And I get onto like page 10, I feel like someone's hitting me.
Yeah,
I feel
someone's drowning me.
Like, stop, this is boring. Yeah. And I think what it is like you don't want to think, you don't want to put your brain on that low an RPM where you're just
reading this
and reading that and making sure this is okay and making sure that's okay.
You know,
and
tell that to
this.
Every teacher that I fucking have worked with, you know.
Square pegs
that.
And round holes, man. That's what it is. You know, the big fucking problem with teachers is they're trying to turn everybody into a robot that assumes a job out there in the world. And there's people with unique personalities that could be artists, and no one recognizes that. Whether it's a martial artist or a fucking singer or a comedian, no one looks at that as a viable path for you know, a job. You know, so teachers want you to be able to get a job. They want you to do, you know, what it takes to, you know, get a job at some company and move on.
Well, let's be honest, like, most people that's what they're going to do.
That's what you have to do. I mean, you can't cater. You can't cater most schoolwork to anyone who's an artist, but there should be some way to recognize when someone's unusual. There should be some way to recognize. And part of it is that the kids don't have any discipline, and that's why they're fucking going squirrely, and that's why they can't read, and it's probably their home life. But you're not going to fix that, okay? You could try to square out that fucking round peg and shove them into that hole,
but you're
only going to get so far.
You know what? But then you're trying to say, okay, let's take all the wacky kids and put them in a special class, and let's take all these kids who are definitely going to be construction workers, put them in this class.
No, I don't think that. I think there should be other opportunities. There should be, like, some people don't want to be comedians. You know, some people don't want to be singers. But there should be some sort of, like, an avenue that you find is interesting, and you can go towards it in school. You know what I'm saying? But there's no viable option for class clowns, no viable options for disruptive kids. But disruptive kids have something. There's something there. First of all, it's a terrible thing. It's undisciplined. It fucks up the school for the rest of kids. And it's because one kid is imbalanced, because one kid probably didn't get enough attention at home, or one kid had an abusive family, and this is the way he learned how to get attention, by lashing out and focusing attention on himself. That said, you got a kid who's willing to do some crazy shit that other kids aren't willing to do now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to fix him. You can teach him about, you know, the consequences of him doing that and how he's fucking it up for everybody else, and that creates bad energy, and this is where we're going to focus your energy. But you're not going to take away that energy. That crazy energy that some people have, it just needs to be focused.
Yeah, that was me, man. I was the kid in high school that was like, if you just applied yourself, Jason.
Yeah.
If you just I did.
I heard that so many
completely
times.
Different direction. I did fighting. Started writing.
But
and
that's
whatever.
What people don't understand. Yeah. You apply yourself in that way. Somehow or another, that's not valid. Like, because, you know, some art there. Like, for me, for me, it was art. I used to draw a lot and martial arts. So those were the two things. And neither one of them seemed like any sort of a viable career option. You know, there was no money in martial arts.
You didn't think of animation being a cartoonist? Because that's what I thought, either a cartoonist or doing radio. So the whole time I'm going to school, I'm like, you know, I don't fucking care about math, history. I'm just going to sleep because I don't care about any of this. I'm never going to use it. I kind of knew that the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think I ever thought about animation. No. Why'd you think about animation?
Because I was like a huge Disney fan, cartoon fan.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Me, I was more comic books. I love comic books.
Yeah, comic books too. That's how I got into it.
Yeah, I definitely had aspirations to be a comic book artist. We talked about this on one of the earlier podcasts, but I just had a really douchey art teacher in high school, and he had me convinced that I was going to have to draw like diaper ads and shit, and that
really?
Things were going to be boring.
Damn, you got some bad teachers.
So many people have bad teachers. I mean, he wasn't a bad teacher. He's just a bad socially. He was a beaten man with no spine. He had a weak will, and he didn't like being around me. I was this martial arts fighter, this kid who was fighting in taekwondo tournaments. I always had like taekwondo championship T-shirts on and shit. I was like, so proud that I won all these taekwondo tournaments. So I would wear taekwondo shit everywhere, because that was the first thing I was ever any good at.
You know what? In high school, I knew that kid. He was the karate champion, bro. I begged that kid, when I was like 16. I begged him to spar. Hey man, can we spar? And I didn't realize that I was scaring him, because I was like, yeah, no, we're gonna fight. You can kick me and use your karate, and I know how to wrestle. I'm gonna try to fight you, and then we'll see who wins. And I'm telling this to this kid who's sitting there like, fuck that.
I found out the future of MMA when I was 15 years old. When I was a sophomore in high school, actually I think I was 14. My friend Steven Arduino was on the wrestling team. He's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wrestling. I was just doing taekwondo, and we were really good friends. And we were always talking about if you fight, I'd just fucking take you down and punch you in the face. I'd be like, bitch, you can't take me down.
Yeah.
And
so
we went out in the grass, and this motherfucker took me down over and over again. It was so sad because it was so easy for him to take me down. I had no wrestling at all. I've never even thought about wrestling someone except like fucking around with my friends, and he just would fucking stand in front of me, put his hand in my face, shoot a double, bang, I'd be on my back.
You kept trying to kick him and stuff?
No. It was just me stopping. We were friends. It was just me stopping him from taking me down.
Whatever, bro. No, you know how I got into mixed martial arts, right? My fat, chubby friend named Pierre showed me the UFC, the early ones with the fucking headbutts and everything, and showed me like Valetudo Brazil. And he's like, and showed me the newer UFCs at the time. Like, it was 95 or 6. He showed me those, and like Pedro or Marco Huas versus Paul Varlet.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah.
First time we ever saw leg kicks.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, man, I was like, oh, I could do this. And he's like, do you want to spar me? And I'm like, you mean fight in the backyard? And he's like, yeah, we'll spar, we'll wear protection. And I'm like,
was this guy a martial artist?
I'm going to kill you. I fought, Bubba? I beat Bubba's ass in the front yard, this giant, fat, black kid. He's like 300 pounds. He's like the scariest dude. I beat the shit out of him because I knew how to fight. Like, I would always spar around with my dad, so I knew how to box and stuff and whatever. We go out in the backyard. I had this breakdancing mat that I had. We laid that down on top of the grass so we had some padding because I knew I was going to fuck him off. Man, we squared off in our hockey chest protectors. He fucking spin kicked me in my bread basket. And I was like, oh! I'd never been kicked like that. I was like, oh my God. So I went to the Miller standby. And it's the move I always did. My dad taught me it. It worked all the time. 1, 2. And if that didn't knock him down on the ground, you grab his head, which I did, and threw him down on the ground. I did that and started fucking wailing on him. Like, I was like, I'm winning. He starts wiggling around and shit. And the next thing I know, he locked me up, and I'm fucking waking up in my backyard looking at the trees, like, quiet, like, and he's looking down at me, and I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, wow, that was a triangle choke. And I learned that in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. That was the first time I ever did that to somebody. I'm like, fuck, I got to learn this shit. He's tiny. He
so
beat
my
ass.
Just decided to fight.
Yeah, my dad was looking out the window laughing at me like, you fucking idiot. I'm like, man, I was sleeping. I was like, I never knew that there was some magical shit. When once we're on the ground, I just figured it's like wrestling. Like, I wrestled a little bit in high school, and I figured, until I realized you have to wear those tight ass pants, and I quit. And then I was like, wow, he beat me. He was on his back. I was winning. I was winning. I saw Hoyce Gracie do it, but I was like, yeah, right. It's just because he's wearing the stupid pajamas.
It's such a fun thing to be able to do to people. You don't realize how powerful jiu-jitsu is.
Oh, you don't know how crazy wrestling is. When you get in a nightclub altercation and you like push somebody off balance, like, oh my God. They look like Bambi on the ice. Their feet are all slipping because they don't know how to stand.
Especially if they have leather shoes on.
Oh, man, you're on the floor.
Those leather shoes are so ridiculous. It's like wearing leather shoes is just going out like in handcuffs.
I wear like pro wrestling boots when I go out to the club. Yeah, yeah.
No doubt. Pro wrestling all day, at least up to the knee.
Wait a minute. For real?
Get no,
out.
No, get out
of
here.
You wear pro wrestling shoes?
No, no. I wear, I call them pro wrestling boots because, dude, they're like, they're traction. Called jump.
But you weren't, they're, no, you
they,
think about that,
they're
though,
tennis
right?
shoes. They're tennis shoes, but they look like classy-ass shoes, and then they lace up to, like, super high.
Dude,
chicks love them.
When I was young, I was so stupid. Every time I bought a pair of pants, I would have to make sure that I could kick somebody in the head
yeah.
with pants on.
Oh, no,
I would,
no.
like, practice Taekwondo kicks with my fucking pants on just to make sure if some shit goes down, oh, yeah. I'm going to make sure I can
No, you know, in. Yo, you know my old man, he was in the Army for years, 20 years, something like that, and he was, like, a legit motherfucker, like, went to war and killed people and whatever. He's like kind of bad. He's an old fucking fat bastard now. But he went to Korea, you know, to like, I don't know, whatever, training or whatever. And he had to post up at the Korean border, you know, like they do that over there. He sees there. He tells me when he comes back, and I'm like 11. He's telling me this story. Man, boy, I was in a bar out there. This little Chinese guy. I'm like, Dad, you're in Korea. The little Chinese guy got into it with me. Kicked me in the fucking face. I'm like, what? What do you mean? He fell down? He's like, no, he kicked me in the face. He bought me a Taekwondo uniform. I'm like, you need to practice this. And I was like, I don't know, like 10. And I went to Taekwondo because of that story. My dad got kicked in the face by a Taekwondo
That's
guy.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Crazy. I can imagine your dad looking out the window laughing while you're unconscious.
Oh, over the sink. Over the sink. And he's laughing at me. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, damn.
See, but you need a dad like that to become a Jason Mayhem Miller.
Oh,
a regular
my dad, was
dad
a dick, bro.
A regular
we
dad
would
is not
going to
make a guy like you.
No, I know.
It's not possible.
You know what? I remember the Brazilians when I was doing tournaments all the time when I was real young, 18, 19. The Brazilians got a crazy story of me because I would always tell these stories where me and my dad would fight and whatever, and we'd get into it, and or we'd spar around, and it'd start off as a joke, and then it would get real, like we'd fucking really fight. And I would tell those stories to the Brazilians, and then it got a story like, man, I heard that Jason Miller, his dad would hit him with beer bottles to make him tougher. I'm
That's
like, what?
The most American Indian sounding Brazilian accent
oh,
ever.
Oh, really?
Like fucking Tonto and shit.
In the great winter,
eagles
we
came
practiced.
From north.
My bad.
Flew with breeze.
My accent sucks, but you get the point. The guy was like, yeah, everybody thought that my dad beat the shit out of me. He did, but like it was a lot of times it was like, I remember we were like getting into it in the kitchen, and I was like fucking fighting with him, and then he grabbed me around, and like, we didn't call a rear naked choke. It was a sleeper hold. He got me in a sleeper hold, and I was like choking, and I wouldn't quit. And he's like, boy, tap out. Boy, tap out, you know? And I was like, I don't know, 14, 15. And I was like, he's choking me. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not going to tap out.
Wow.
You know? And I just remember, finally he let me go because he's like, ah, that's enough. But it was too late. I remember reaching for the refrigerator handle and then waking up in condiments. Like, he put me out. I was, like, covered in, like, the fucking mayonnaise and shit, mustard. I'm like, damn. And he's laughing because and my mom's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, Dad choked me out. Like that.
And he was laughing?
Oh,
but
yeah.
Was this an actual fight? Or was
no,
this,
no,
like,
we're playing.
Just playing?
We were playing. But listen, man, in redneck culture, you have to understand that if there's a line that's drawn. Like, you're playing, and then you're not really playing anymore. And then it comes from one step from somebody biting somebody or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
Like it gets,
that's how
it
people
gets
get
rough.
Shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I can understand that. I'm proud. I'm proud that I came from such a strange background. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm a professional fighter. I'm not a goddamn kindergarten teacher.
One time my dad threw a Jolly Rancher at me and hit me in the eye.
God, you're homosexual. God, not in the fashionable way.
Did you eat
way.
It? Did you just,
no, it
not
hurt.
Even, did
it fucking
you cry?
No,
and
I didn't
even
cry.
Talk to him,
but
just
it
eat it.
Fucking
eat
stung.
It while you're crying?
It stung.
Just look him in the eyes and eat it while tears roll down
Wait,
your
what
face.
What did you do to get a Jolly Rancher to the eyepiece?
Fucking stung. He missed. He totally overthrew it and hit me right
Wait,
in the
he
eye.
Was throwing it to you?
Yeah, like,
oh,
hey.
God, his story's even worse. No, there's no even abuse in this story.
No, his dad's got a hard underhand,
it hurt.
Dude.
It stung.
So
it stung.
Vicious wrist action. Like
he
a
played softball in college, right?
Yeah, his underhand is a motherfucker. You ever see those chicks that throw
fucking,
like a wicked
yes?
softball underhand?
You ever see the rubber band thing that makes them throw harder?
Yeah, I saw it on late night TV.
Yeah, always. Like, who the hell? Why are softball players watching ESPN at
How fast
midnight?
Can they throw that underhand?
I don't know. Probably like 60 miles an hour.
But the thing is, they could do it all day. It's like a way more natural movement than like a regular pitcher. Like a pitcher, that shit blows your shoulder out.
Because,
but
well,
this shit doesn't blow your shoulder out at all. I don't know if it's that they're throwing it harder. I think it's the mechanism of
moving your arm that way. That there will be some kid from Little League up who's been taught underhand? And I think about this, with a big juiced out arm, he could throw that shit super hard.
I wonder, because it doesn't seem like girls can do that shit all day and it doesn't blow their arm out. But I think there's something about throwing like that that's, I think you can get more velocity, especially naturally, but I think it blows your shoulder
out. No, it does.
Out.
I have like flexible tendons and shit, like a real flexible. When I throw a fucking baseball, my arm feels like it's gonna blow out of its socket. The same thing. He got out of Ranger school. He didn't make it through Ranger school. He couldn't throw the fucking grenade right. Same shit.
Wow.
The bad shoulder.
And
like,
when he talks about flexible tendons, you could see that shit online. If you watch his fight, was it Super Bowl or
all
Icon?
My fights, man. All with, my fights.
Egan Inouye.
Egan, he twists my arm backwards. And I was like, oh my God, he's gonna break it off. And I just toughed it out. And then I got up and I was like, oh, it's good. And I just went and bashed the guy with that same hand that he was twisting.
It's the most ridiculous Kimura defense ever. Have you ever seen it? How many times did you roll?
Oh, man, so many. I was like, I didn't even know
Egan Inouye, who's this badass jiu-jitsu black belt, bad motherfucker, yoked as fuck.
Yeah, he was legendary. When I was fighting him, I was like, damn, this guy's a legend.
You fought him in Hawaii, too.
Yeah, and where they hated me. They were like telling me to die, Howley, die. I was like, oh.
But, dude, you know, Hawaii is a crazy-ass place.
Also one of the most peaceful people. Ever.
Hawaiians?
Yeah. Hawaiians are all about love and
aloha.
And they're like hippies in the that live in their own island.
Hawaiians beat the fuck out of each other.
Well, they do in movies.
No. There's videos in real life.
Well, there's definitely parts of people, but the Hawaiian community as a whole, I think.
Well, people are friendly, but that doesn't mean that they don't beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, well, there's people beating the crap out of everywhere.
Listen,
but what I'm saying is people in Hawaii are notorious for wanting to fight.
Yeah.
It's like a part of their culture.
Yeah.
If you go online, there's all these backyard fights. Hawaiian backyard fights, dude. There's so many of them. There's thousands of them. Beach fights and backyard fights where dudes meet after school, kids meet after school, and they just have MMA fights, bare knuckle. They just duke it out on the grass.
Yeah.
In Hawaii, it's
common. Would you say that if you talk to most people, like, how was your trip to Hawaii? They brought up.
Yeah, but you're going to the resort and, you know, it's tourism.
I'll tell you a story about that. The first time I fought in Super Brawl, here's a perfect example. Okay. The first time I fought in Super Brawl, I got cut above the eye, and I was walking around Waikiki, and some kid was like, hey, man, you that guy, huh, from Super Brawl, huh? And I was like, yeah, what's up, dude? And he's like, oh, bro, what's up? Oh, man, I'm tough. And I'm like, oh, cool, bro. He's like 16 years old, 15 years old. Some fat white tourist is walking down. He's like, well, bro, what? Watch this. And he walks over and bends down like he's tying his shoe. And he's like looking at his peripheral vision, sees this guy walking. He stands up and the guy bumps into him. Oh, sorry, man. This Hawaiian kid starts beating the shit out of him. He's young. He's so young that it's not really hurting him. Like, not really hurting the guy. But the guy's like, oh, stop. And he's got a buddy with him. Doesn't help him at all. The kid starts... In Hawaiian, you call it false cracking the guy. It's a sucker punch. He like gets up and sucker punches the guy. The guy goes, ah. He grabs on his backpack and starts jump kicking him. The guy starts running up. He goes, ah, this is my first trip to Hawaii. I was like, oh my God, Hawaiian people are crazy.
You remember Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
I think so.
The movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, there was the bartender who was super cool to him.
Yeah, that was the part of the movie I was talking about.
Afterwards.
Maybe from the movies. That's what I was talking about.
No, but afterwards the guy kicks his ass. That's like real life.
Yeah, well, I mean, why? Is that? I've never heard anyone ever say, I went to Hawaii, dude, there was fucking fights.
Right,
but
you're talking about going to Hawaii where you go to resorts.
Yeah, come on.
And people are
not
on vacation.
Not necessarily. Acapulco,
the Mexican people are the nicest people ever. But I go up to Tijuana, I bet you they'll try to gut me. You know,
when you talk to BJ Penn, like BJ Penn talks about growing up in Hawaii, it's all he says, there's nothing to do. Everybody just fights.
I'm just saying, if you're in that world, it's definitely more, you know, in your face than if most people go into the store in a suburban neighborhood in Hawaii, you know, or something like that.
Dude, no one's saying that Hawaii people are douchebags. Yeah. No one's saying that it's a bad place to live.
No, listen, I can explain it.
They like to fight.
I live there too. It's kind of the culture that, oh, bro, you want to throw down. So what? Yeah. You want to and there's a mutual. Like, let's fight. Nobody shoots each other.
Right.
It's like, let's fight. We'll fight, and then we'll end it out. Oh, he kicked his ass. Yeah. And then you get the coconut wireless. Everybody knows about it.
then he kicked his ass.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that it's just the culture, you know. And I think that
well, that's where BJ Penn came out of. You know, BJ Penn came out of that sort of, you know, that kind of competition is what started his MMA career, that he was this bad motherfucker that would step to anybody and fight anybody.
Yep.
He took pride in that, you know, and that's why he became an MMA champ. You know, when you're stuck on a fucking island like the Big Island and there ain't that much people and everyone's just jammed in together on this rock, you know, tensions run high.
Oh, man, I live there, too. It's a strange, different place because you're on this tiny island, and it's small. Because even though it's a million people, whatever, whatever circles you run in are tight-knit because everybody knows everybody.
Right. So there must be a lot of bullshit between, like, dudes and girls.
Oh,
and,
my God. Yeah. Epic amounts. I would imagine, because
everybody knows everybody. And you're like, that dude's fucking her. Like, when someone breaks up. They break up, and then she goes out with someone you know.
Some dude that went to high school with that other guy. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That causes tensions.
Painful.
And you lived on the Big Island, or no?
I lived on Oahu. It's like the main island.
Isn't it crazy that, though, the smaller, it's not a big island. It's not that big.
No, it's not that big, but it's like the most, I don't know why it was the biggest one that developed quickest.
It's so weird. Most of the times when I got to Hawaii, I went to the Big Island, I went to Maui, I went to Kauai, but when I went to what's the other one? There's a little small one. I forget which
Molokai.
One.
Molokai?
No.
No. I have no idea.
Lanai.
Oh, Lanai, yeah.
But when I went to Honolulu, I was like, God damn, this is like a city.
It is. It's not. It's America. It's America on wheels. It's America with Asians.
American paradise, though.
Yeah.
America, it's the weirdest city ever. It's like a fucking Blade Runner movie.
Yeah.
It's like here you are in this city with this incredibly beautiful weather, with this amazing ocean. Like, you are right there. It's a city somehow or another, but it's not that polluted.
Yeah.
You know, the ocean's not that polluted.
Because it's just washing off.
It's fucking
would you say Kauai is the best? Kauai?
Kauai is like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's all like beautiful. It's like Lost, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like Lanai was gorgeous too. Lanai is really small.
Yeah. Well, I imagine Lanai is even less developed than Kauai. And Kauai is like, there's one road that goes everywhere.
I think Lanai only has like 3,000 people that live on it, or 30,000 or something tiny. It's a, and it's all like the staff
all
of the
throwing
Four Seasons.
Down.
They did look a little fucking spaced out when I was asking for directions. There's fucking three roads, and this bitch couldn't tell me how to get to the hotel. It's just like, oh, no, I think, what street is it on?
You know what? Here's the thing is that about that, when I lived in Hawaii, bro, I can't tell you what street to turn on. I could tell you to get to the Waikiki, you got to go down. There's a 7-Eleven at the end of this one road. You take a right there. You keep going down. It turns into a one-way, and you take a right at Zippy's. And then there you're in Waikiki.
Oh, I see. So you don't.
It's not you. Nobody knows the road names because they're Melakaliki Maka and Kanamohohe. I'm like, what? Like, who the fucking nobody even knows the name of this road?
How crazy is it that Hawaii is a part of America, but it's 5 hours away on a fucking plane?
Alaska.
Hey, man.
Alaska is not as crazy. At least it's landmass. You can drive to Alaska.
Right.
You
know, but still, but there's something in the middle of it. It's like there's land in the middle of it. That makes no sense. That's
totally
crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, well, look, we gotta have our ass covered on all sides. And you know,
for sure. But I mean, it's incredible that we can call that America. It's 5 hours away on a fucking plane.
Yeah.
And then Guam is like sort of America, right?
Yeah. Peace. So is Puerto Rico, buddy.
Yeah. Puerto Rico is like sort of America. Like, Puerto Rico is like considered America, though.
But they don't pay taxes, so they don't want to be part of America.
But are you allowed to be from Puerto Rico and just immigrate to America?
I think so.
How's that work?
I think so.
I think so, too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's why there's so many Puerto Ricans, right. You know, especially if you go to New York.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Don Gavin's this fucking comedian from Boston, old school legend. He used to have this joke about, he's just like a real fast talking Boston guy. He's like, if I went to Puerto Rico and I didn't like Puerto Rico. Too many fucking Puerto Ricans. I don't even know how they afford it. It's so expensive.
Mayhem, have you been doing stand-up comedy lately?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Where is the great Mayhem doing stand-up comedy?
I don't know.
I know you did Ari's show at the Improv.
I did Ari's show. You know what? And Ari's doing a show today. I've been arrested a bunch of times. He didn't ask me to do the I Fought the Law.
Oh, you can crash that bitch.
Dude, just crash it.
You can totally crash it.
That would be fun.
Ari's probably listening right now. No,
he is.
He's eating pizza. Jerking off.
No, he's not. He's sleeping.
He is jerking off.
He might be
sleeping. He likes to jerk off, that guy.
Who doesn't? Come on, fella. That's with the Fleshlight, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back to our final sponsor. This is the Fleshlight. If you want to masturbate, this is your key.
Oh, my God.
Fleshlight.com.
I'm nervous looking at that.
If you go to Fleshlight.com, too, if you go to my website, there's a link, and you get 15% off your Fleshlight.
That's dope.
It's a nice.
That's the weirdest sponsor ever, I got to
tell you. It's the best sponsor. Come on. My show's fucking nuts. This whole thing is crazy. That's why I've got crazy people like you on. Nobody else would have got this kind of an interview out of Mayhem Miller. We had to put it together.
This is not an interview, man. It is, I feel like we're on a show together.
We're hanging, bro. Don't do that.
Why did you fuck the
door? No, I haven't fucked the door yet.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, it's queefing all over the mic.
Can you feel it? Like, feel how natural it feels. Dude, not natural.
I'm not
but
doing that.
It's so
it
much
smells
better.
Terrible now.
It's just rubber. It smells terrible. After all the dirty pussy and asshole we've been talking about.
Let's see if it's salty.
Imagine if your mom walks in the house like that.
If they were the tester, like tested by number 407, there's just a guy going, "This is good.
This one make my cock feel so yummy." Yeah, right. Imagine if some dude did fuck it because he knew it was going.
He had to.
Imagine if he knew it was going.
Quality insurance.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a faulty fake vagina.
Can you imagine that job? But that was your job. You had to do that all day long.
Just
you had to keep on getting boners.
Pussies.
Like, one, oh, good.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
There's probably a job like that.
I'm appalled at this podcast.
Yeah. I think we've reached the bottom.
Yes, we have.
This is it. This is the end of the line.
So, you have a website, right? MayhemMiller.com. MayhemMiller on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm Mayhem Miller all across the board.
MayhemMiller everywhere. You don't use MySpace anymore, do you? You don't.
What's MySpace? I feel bad. Like, I'm like, you know what? I know that there's chicks out there that want to bone me on MySpace, but I don't even go. I can't even go on there. I can't even go on there. Like, I'm like, ah.
Is when you see a girl that's still on MySpace, like, this is my MySpace. Like, that might be a girl that's retarded.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No,
totally.
Lower percentage for
something's
sure.
Something's
wrong with her. You're elite if you're not on MySpace.
Unless she's picking up she's king of the scraps.
Yeah, you know?
She might be, there might be like, dude, I am the most popular person on MySpace
right
now.
She's like the new Tila, right? Tila Tequila Part 3. Right.
I've got 4,000 friends. Yeah. 4,000 active friends. A lot of girls claim 4,000 friends.
I got no bots on mine.
Yeah, who the fuck is left on MySpace? Only people whose computers
I'm
going to
go
even,
back log into
they're
mine.
So old they can't even work Facebook.
Our friend just quit MySpace. He used
Jordan,
to work there. And now I could finally get rid
Delete
of my
it.
MySpace. I don't feel bad. Because I only held on to it, I think, because
of
him.
I've hoped that MySpace is going to make a comeback. Because back in the Comedy Store days, MySpace packed that fucking place all the time. That was responsible for getting... You know,
you think
like,
it's harder to promote on Facebook?
Following. No. The best is Twitter.
Twitter is the best.
Yeah, Twitter's fun, dude. I like talking to people. Yeah. I like people send me some shit and I send it back to
them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm pissed off about is your fans are way smarter than mine because you always get cool shit sent to you and I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, I send shit to them too, though. Whenever I find any
cool video online,
I always tweet it. I always tweet it, so they tweet shit like that back to me. But I find out all about a lot of cool articles and cool science developments and shit. I find out a lot of that stuff by people on Twitter.
You know what? I find it out because of you, usually.
I'm like, man. It's a chain of information we all sharing.
I know. I'm like stoked every time you come up with oh, cool, Joe Rogan put an article, and I click and read it.
There's always so much cool shit on the internet, man.
Yeah, it's the best.
Have you seen the Deepak Chopra, Sam Harris debates?
Oh, yeah.
Sam Harris had some other dude with him. I forget the dude's name. And Deepak Chopra had this crazy cat lady with him. And they're debating God. And it's some brilliant shit, man. Sam Harris is a brilliant, brilliant motherfucker. He wrote that really good book, Letters to a Christian Nation. He's just this like skeptic, atheist character, but a really reasonable dude.
Have you seen Dawkins versus, I can't remember. He did a few where he was like kind of.
He did one with Deepak Chopra, but I didn't like his arguments against Deepak. And it was very short. The clip that he used online or in his documentary is very short. It was just mostly mocking Deepak. But then when Deepak talked to him, Deepak was actually pretty reasonable about what he was saying. They were talking about states of mind and mood and the ability to help diseases and cause diseases like bad states of mind, which I definitely think I agree with.
Yeah, I think
I think negative people, like negative energy is manifests itself in stress. Stress manifests itself in misfiring.
No, I've had injuries before where the injury I don't even notice because like I just got caveman brain where I get hurt and I just ignore that part of my body.
Right.
And like I'll step on something and have a bloody foot and just keep ignoring it until I have to go to hospital, you know?
Right.
And then so I kept doing that, but I didn't realize it put stress on your body. And then I got super sick and I'm like, why am I sick and got a hurt knee? It's because you get in this mind state of being just totally like feeling bad and irritated and hurt, and then your body breaks down.
Yeah, you need positive energy and a good feeling of enjoyment of your life, appreciation for everything. All that good stuff makes you feel better, makes you lighter, it makes you have to work less hard, it makes life less taxing. When I'm going through a lot of bullshit in my life, man, I'm tired all the time, you know? Yeah. It's a lot of energy gets used up by that. Don't you find that? Like if you're in like a bad personal situation, that you're fucking tired all the time?
Oh, totally. It's depression, usually, you know? I mean, it's depression.
It's depression, but it's also energy. Just bad feelings. Somebody hates you. Someone's mad at you.
Yeah. Well, at the risk of sounding like a hippie, yeah, energy's everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally sound like a hippie. The problem is hippies fucked up a lot of cool shit.
I know, yeah.
Hippies connected a lot of bullshit is because stuff that's real.
The thought of a hippie, okay, because I've met awesome hippies,
yeah.
Okay? But the thought of a hippie is this silly...
Weak.
Yeah. Like, just like, all he does is like to lay around in the fields and smoke weed.
Dude, there was a lot of hippies in Boulder. When I was in Boulder, I got annoyed with a lot of hippies. This idealistic, stupid point of view.
Yeah.
Like, to trespass on your property and go, are you denying us access to the woods? I'm like, you fucking douchebag. This is my yard. Get out of here, asshole.
I bought the woods.
Yeah, it's a big yard, but it's my fucking yard. How about use the woods over there where it's just the woods, you douche?
Yeah. Well, you know,
this idea, but the North Trail, this is an awesome trail. Yeah, that's why I fucking paid $16,000 a month, you shithead.
Smithers. You know? Smithers, Mr. Smithers.
Yes. Get the fuck
Release
out
the
here.
Hounds!
No, man. It's like you want privacy, man. Look, you're
He's got his
the Bull woods.
Mastiff tearing apart hippies in the fucking yard.
Yes, yes, again, hippies.
My Bill Mastiff is a nice dog. He's cool. I mean, he lets you know when people are there, but he's not, like, scary.
I like to wrestle those dogs.
My pit bulls, when I used to have pit bulls, that was like having monsters. That was like I kept monsters as pets.
You know, I was running. All right, so I was in Hawaii on the North Shore, and this dude's house I was going to, apparently he was like a famous drug dealer or something.
Oh,
that,
no.
Something like that. And my friends went in ahead of me. I forgot my swim shorts, and I got it. And I walked in by myself and across this giant yard. A fucking giant pit bull sprinting at me. And I was like, fuck. And I was already in the gate. Like, I couldn't outrun him at this point. And I was like, fuck. So I got like a... Fuck, what do I do? What do I do? And I was like, stay calm. And I went, fuck it. And I went, row, row, row. Like that, and you barked at him. He stopped in his tracks and barked at me. We were best friends after that. Like, it was the weirdest thing.
Well, sometimes
ever.
They'll bark at you. They just want to get close to you and make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
And then they're friendly.
Yeah,
you
that's
never
what it
know.
Was. I barked at him. He barked at me. And then I went, here's
pit
my hand.
Pit bulls are some of the smartest, fucking coolest dogs as pets, but it's such a pain in the ass because they just want to fight other dogs. Like, they're always, it's like hanging out with a crazy dude.
Trying to be alpha.
Just itch your butthole and let them smell your finger. It works also.
Oh, Brian, you did it again. How dare you? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like smelling the ass of a dog. If you let them smell the stink
so you're
that's
telling
coming
me
off
that
your asshole,
that you
they
normal
totally cool. respect
Whenever you
them.
See really? A meat dog, you finger blast your
just,
own
I just
ass.
Go like this and
then,
like, smell this.
Okay, cool.
What if he decides to attack and bite your hand?
It
off?
Never happens. They sit there, they go into smell mode.
Well,
go,
I mean, first of all, they're not going to
really?
Bite.
Yeah,
hand
it's crazy.
Smells like ass.
So you're being honest.
Yes.
This is like actual advice.
Totally,
to
totally.
Buffer.
Try it out. So if you see a pit bull charging at you, fucking grab your asshole, put a finger in, let it smell it, make sure it's working.
I think your theory is faulty, and you need to try it on some other
dogs.
What
do dogs do when they see other dogs?
How many
dogs
have tried to attack you? You might have got lucky.
You're just used to smelling. All right.
I'm just. Don't do it. Don't grabbing
his ass
in the room. Oh, he did it. Oh, he licked it. This fucking show is over, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end. This is the end of the line.
Dog.
I can't even believe he made a dog smell his butt from his own fingers.
Face.
Go wash your hands, son. You're touching
the
microphone. What the fuck, Brian? Oh, this is so nasty. Yo. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in.
Red Band.
Thanks to our buddy Jason Mayhem Miller for coming on and being
now.
One of the best fucking guests we've ever had on the podcast.
Thanks, man. Shit.
Goddamn outstanding. Good Beep. Stories. He's a real dude. You can catch him on Twitter, Mayhem Miller on Twitter, mayhemmiller.com. Of course, Bully Beatdown. How many seasons have you done?
The third now.
Going into the third season, ladies and gentlemen. DVR that shit. You know you're going to watch it. And look for him in Strike Force in October against some unknown victim. We'll see what's up. Jason Mayhem Miller representing Brian Reichel for everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you sexy bitches next week.
Love y'all.